Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, liberty-loving patriots. Welcome to the Lucid Libertarian with Lori Ann Show. Please be sure to tune in Sunday nights from 6 p.m. to 8 p.m. Pacific Time, 9 to 11 p.m. Eastern, to discuss current events, news, and political opinion with Lucid Libertarian flair. Be prepared, folks. We often go into an optional extended third hour. This show advocates for liberty, freedom, our Constitution, Bill of Rights, and limited government, while speaking against corporate and government corruption, tyranny, and the globalist Great Reset agenda that undermines our precious American sovereignty. Discussions here are unscripted and free-flowing, so sometimes conversations wander off in unpredictable directions. Would you like to call in and share your thoughts and be part of the conversation? The number is 563-999-3698. Again, that is 563-999-3698. Press number 1 and you'll be added to the queue. Please also like and follow my Lucid Libertarian with Lori Ann page on Facebook. You can help me battle their freedom-loathing censorship by visiting my page regularly, along with reacting, commenting, and sharing my posts. Thank you so much for listening, but please sit tight and don't go anywhere. We'll be back in a few minutes to kick off the show.
Imagine waking up in a trunk. What is grooming? What if I told you we had a 40% increase of human and sex trafficking in our country due to COVID lockdowns? We already had high numbers to begin with. One's Purpose is an amazing organization pounding the pavement every day, helping these survivors get help. Unfortunately, they do not have the funding they need for a safe house. In the state of Oregon, we have zero safe houses for these survivors who have endured the most heinous of crimes. The time is now to get involved. The time is now to help stop human trafficking. Please go to onespurpose.com to get involved. If you need help and if you know someone who needs to get help, please contact 541-221-3448. Make a donation. Make a difference.
Sure, it's Friday night, but that is no reason not to tune in to NWCR Radio at 9 p.m. Eastern Time with Robert the Infidel Garding. Being around since 2007, we patriots have watched as the left and many on the right have done nothing to stop what is going on to destroy our great nation. Ideas abound with our society, but most are horrible at best. But there are good ideas out there if you know where to look. Join us every Friday at 9 p.m. Eastern for a dose of reality from behind the silver microphone of freedom with the voice of reason in this unreasonable world. That's NWCR Radio at 9 p.m. Eastern Time on Friday evenings, where you can call in at 646-478-5284 and give your solutions to what is ailing this country.
There. Are you hesitant to get the vaccine?
Yeah.
Then get the brand new government-approved Vaccinate Me Elmo doll.
Wow! Elmo loves experimental vaccines!
With the Vaccinate Me Elmo doll, your kid will finally feel the pressure and shame we've successfully made you feel to get the COVID vaccine.
Quick! Give me the vaccine! Elmo don't want to be responsible for the deaths of friends or family! Thanks! Ha! Now Elmo's a good person!
The Vaccinate Me Elmo doll comes with a toy syringe, a stethoscope.
Elmo, your heart is beating fast. Are you having complications?
Of course not!
And a tiny vial of something. It's not the vaccine, promise. It's, water. Let your kid drink it.
Elmo, can't you take your mask off now?
No! Gotta keep that mask on! Forever!
That feels like mixed messaging.
With the Vaccinate Me Elmo doll, your child will be begging you to get the vaccine. Just scared out of their little mind for the fate of the world or your money back.
It's your turn. Time to get the vaccine.
You want to.
Sorry, you have to.
No.
Do it.
No.
You have no choice.
No.
Now. Now. Or else.
Or else what?
Last chance.
And for all you anti-science conspiracy believing parents, buy the re-released classic Tickle Me Elmo. It's perfectly normal.
Now this is fun.
Get the vaccine or die.
Buy the Vaccinate Me Elmo doll today. It's required by the CDC.
The Babylon Bee Guide to Wokeness will teach you everything you need to know about how to choose your pronouns.
How to blame everyone else for your problems.
How to show the world just how wonderful you are.
The art of virtue signaling.
The basis of race, gender, and intersectionality.
The truth about American history.
Problematic books.
And how to tell if a baby is racist.
Good evening, and welcome to We Lied to You News. We've got exciting stories for you today about how governments around the world are trying to abolish free speech, monitor and track citizens with digital IDs. We'll also tell you about how morally righteous people are acting like immoral idiots. And we'll conclude with all that has to be done to destroy America. Spoiler alert, it's currently being done. One of the Biden administration's dirtiest little secrets has been spilled. And please keep in mind, what you're about to hear about what they're doing is strictly for national defense purposes, where the government is defending itself from its nation's citizens. In exclusive footage that we've obtained by copying it from another news organization that went to the trouble of breaking the story, we've learned that the Biden administration has been tracking and spying on all people who flew into D.C. on January 6, 2021, even if they didn't go to the Capitol. Take a look.
By that, you're following January 2021 people. What does that mean?
That means our primary mission is a little group called Quiet Skies. It's a mission called Quiet Skies that we're following people that flew into the National Capital Region in January 2021. You did not have to go to the Capitol or the rally, and you've been put on a specific list that TSA now has assigned air marshals to follow these people who have not had any type of criminal investigation. They haven't committed a crime, but yet 3 years later, we're following the same individuals day in and day out.
If that sounds extreme, may we remind you that at least all those U.S. citizens are still being secretly tracked and followed by the government for the offense of committing no crime. And may we remind you of the quote that no tyrant wants you to know. Patriotism is supporting your country all the time, and your government when it deserves it. Meanwhile, the world's most proud sanctuary state, New York, has a governor who believes that what the Biden administration is doing just isn't going far enough. Governor Katie Hochul has announced that she's creating a task force to monitor the social media activity of New York citizens. Take a look.
Also, we're very focused on the data we're collecting from surveillance efforts, what's being said on social media platforms. And we have launched an effort to be able to counter some of the negativity and reach out to people when we see hate speech being spoken about on online platforms.
Yeah, but don't worry. It's to counter hate speech. And hate speech does need to be countered because hate speech is covered by the First Amendment. Now, because you're a moron, just to be clear, the dreaded hate speech can be defined as anything that runs counter to the state-sponsored narrative. And that's how I keep myself a job. What a progressive policy that the New York governor is putting in place. Which reminds us that New York generated the Glorious Patriot Act, which helped grease up the slippery slope that we've been sliding down for over 20 years now. And the official narrative on the Patriot Act is that it's great. Meanwhile, Ireland looks at that and says, hold my beer. Yeah, all seven of them. How so? Well, an Irish Green Party senator took the floor to demand, we must restrict freedom of speech in order to make people feel safe about their gender identity. Check it out.
When you think about it, all law, all legislation is about the restriction of freedom. That's exactly what we're doing here, is we are restricting freedom, but we're doing it for the common good. You will see throughout our constitution, yes, you have rights, but they are restricted for the common good. Everything needs to be balanced. And if your views on other people's identities go to make their lives unsafe, insecure, and cause them such deep discomfort that they cannot live in peace, then I believe that it is our job as legislators to restrict those freedoms for the common good.
For the common good. I'm glad she remembered to say that, because otherwise I'd be dumb enough to think restricting freedom was bad. And she's right. Abolishing free speech so that nobody feels insecure about their self-diagnosed gender identity is important. Giving up something real to protect something that's imaginary is for the greater good. Otherwise, insecure people might feel their insecurity. And luckily, Ireland is already enforcing their new free speech-eroding anti-hate speech laws, which have Irish authorities investigating Conor McGregor. His crime? Well, probably many crimes, to be honest. But what the Irish government is investigating him for is hate speech. On social media, Conor spoke out in anger about the five children in Ireland who were stabbed by an immigrant. And when we look in our best rainbow-colored legal books, we can confirm that being angry about such a thing does qualify as hate speech because it's not inclusive to the immigrant that did the stabbings. And Elon took a break from controlling everything in the world to chime in, suggesting this could literally happen to you for having a meme on your phone in Ireland. From there, in Israel versus Palestine news, Elon was pictured touring the aftermath of the attacks on Israel with Benjamin Netanyahu. Why was Elon there? Well, we have reports that Elon was probably just looking for some more lithium for his environmentally friendly cars that run on coal-powered electricity. And we don't think he found any, unfortunately. And the American youth, who apparently believe most of what we tell them, are getting pretty pro-Palestine. Here's a trans, non-binary TikToker who started reading the Quran and is thinking about converting to Islam.
Just started reading the Quran, and I am so excited about it. The way that the Quran describes things actually makes sense to me. And also, did you know that Allah is beyond gender?
Chickens for KFC doesn't make sense to chickens, yet this makes sense to he, she, they. I wonder which animal has a bigger brain. And over the weekend, pro-Palestine protesters blocked the Manhattan Bridge, preventing traffic flow while chanting for a ceasefire. Now, I haven't checked yet, but them being over 5,000 miles away in a country that is not firing any weapons, I suspect their efforts were very effective. Fair enough. But in contrast, in New Zealand, this is how police handled a pro-Hamas protester. Got him. Let's see that again. Yep, he definitely stopped protesting after that. And in other news about how you're being heavily surveilled for the common good, and it'll only get worse if you allow it, here's former Prime Minister of the UK, Tony Blair, talking about the importance of digital IDs for tracking.
This issue to do with the technology and the digital infrastructure, I just want to emphasize how important I think that is. Because in the end, you need the data. You need to know who's been vaccinated and who hasn't been.
Officially, I agree with you, Tony. And unofficially, I don't think anybody needs to know about my medical records, sport. Let me see Tony again. Ah yes, shocking to see that he's at the World Economic Forum while talking about tracking citizens with digital IDs and mandating vaccines. Normally, the WEF only talks about, well, those things. Plus the climate and their green agenda. Speaking of which, nations that follow the WEF's green initiatives are beginning to confiscate land from farmers, as they're doing in the Netherlands, you know, to save the climate. However, a Croatian member of the European Parliament is pushing back against the EU's implementation of the WEF's agenda to, well, stop growing food. Recently, he said this to the EU Parliament.
Jedini pravi cilj ovog zakona je konfiskacija privatnog vlasništva i oduzimanje poljoprivrednog zemljišta poljoprivrednicima, što ima krajnji cilj, a to je nedostupnost organske hrane građanima. Znači, želi se onemogućiti prosječnom građaninu da može jesti normalnu hranu.
The EU is using the climate scam as a pretext to seize agricultural land from farmers with the ultimate goal of creating deliberate food shortages? I'm offended by his words, which means his words are hate speech, which means he should be in jail. Fun fact, communist regimes have a history of creating food shortages for the purpose of thinning the population while putting people in a state of desperation, which makes them more compliant. For example, Mao's farmland grab caused 45 million people to starve to death. Stalin's farmland grab caused 3.9 million people to starve to death. Those communist dictators were able to confiscate the farmland because they told citizens it was for the greater good. What makes this different is that the WEF and its members confiscating farmland are telling citizens that they're doing it for the greater good. In both instances, the regimes are doing the same thing while telling citizens the same thing. Therefore, what's happening today is probably different. And finally, destroying America. U.S. service member Tim Kennedy had this to say about how to destroy the USA. Make art ugly. Well, Hollywood does that. Make porn free. I never pay for mine. Make God a joke. Always important for communism to take root. Make food poisonous. Why does Bill Gates put so many ingredients in his fake meat? Make dads optional. Well, masculinity is toxic. Make politicians rich. Well, Nancy Pelosi sets the bar pretty high on this one. Make money worthless. Well, inflation is pretty magical for this. Make news entertainment. Well, we do know if it bleeds, it leads, and here you are watching us. Make men and women compete. Well, there's really no competition when you get down to it. Make kids hate their ancestors. Well, they were all just a bunch of misogynistic racists. But the good news is that we're currently doing all these things that you need to do to destroy the USA. But of course, the way we're doing these exact same things isn't to destroy America. We're doing it for the common good of all. We know you believe that because thinking that we're actually trying to destroy America while you let it happen is too scary for you to think about. Your obedience during the pandemic proved to us that you don't have that kind of courage. So, it's all for the common good is what we're agreeing on, right? That's it for today's news. Everything is going according to plan, and we sincerely appreciate your silence and passivity so it can continue moving along. Now go have yourself some fake meat, medicate yourself, and turn in your guns so you won't be able to stop us even if you tried. Good night! Some people choose to be completely passive, somehow expecting they'll accidentally stay healthy. I am not one of those people. I love to be proactive with my health and wellness, and Bond Charge helps me do it.
All righty. Hello, hello, everybody. Happy Sunday. Thank you for making your way here. You are tuned in to the Lucid Libertarian with Lori Ann Show. Really appreciate everybody making their way in. I don't normally start the show with a clip like that, but it's been quite a while since I've played a J.P. Sears. And that was a particularly good one that he did, 4 days ago, I think. And so I thought, well, you know, that's a good one to play because you never know. So I might not be able to get to it with however the conversation goes. Of course, it's been, you know, another week just full and ripe of tyranny and stuff to talk about. We have the main crew that have been filing in. Good to see everybody. We got Mike. We got Robert, Conservative Nation Media.
We got Valerie back again. We missed her last week, so I'm glad to see that she's back this week. We got Gunslinger. We got Robert Egner, Oregonian here and friend of Valerie's and a new friend of mine in the shows. And then a Skype number already in the switchboard and also in the chat room. So it's really great just kind of making their way here tonight. Lots of stuff to talk about before, you know, I bring Valerie on into the loop. Let's just cover partially what's been going on this past week. If you're looking at the show description, you can look up pretty much any one of these and read the full articles. And any number of these things we could end up talking about tonight or other stuff because, of course, I can't fit everything. There's even when I, you know, set up the show a couple of days ago, then it's like, you know, 2 days pass, and then there's even more stuff to potentially talk about. In the news this past week, we find out that the man that stabbed Derek Chauvin 22 times, Derek Chauvin in prison, of course, for the murder of George Floyd, he was stabbed in prison in Arizona in the federal prison, and we find out that the man who stabbed him 22 times was a former FBI informant working within the Mexican mob. Well, isn't that interesting? Geez. I wonder if there's any connection there. Let's see. Then also coming up on Wednesday this week, the fourth GOP debate will be transpiring, and we'll see if anybody actually tunes into it this time. It's going to be hosted by News Nation, and the moderators are going to be Megyn Kelly, Elizabeth Vargas, and Elena Johnson. So that should be interesting. You know, maybe, you know, this sounds like a pretty interesting group of moderators to have. So maybe people will actually tune in for it. And, of course, the GOP field is smaller and smaller as time goes on. So we shall see how that turns out. I know I'll be paying attention to it, even though not a lot of people are, just because, you know, I think I want to watch the debate just because I love seeing the entertainment value of Vivek and Nikki going at it. it's just kind of funny. So I love it when they just absolutely cannot stand each other, and you know, I love you know, seeing them and listening to them, you know, spit their venom at each other. It's pretty funny. Anyway, so I'll be watching it just for that. But so check out News Nation on Wednesday for the fourth GOP debate if you don't have anything better to do, right? Then also, Democrat strategist says that Christian nationalists are a bigger threat to the U.S. than Al-Qaeda. Oh, boy. Okay, then. I have my doubts about this. Just saying. Let's see. Then also, in another weird twist of fate here, all of the videos of witness interviews that were done by the Democrat-led January 6th committee, so they did all of these witness interviews, all of those videos that they of these interviews they conducted have poof vanished. They went bye-bye. Nobody can find them. Where'd they go? Hello? Hello? All this video of the interviews of eyewitness accounts from January 6th. Where'd they all go? Why did they disappear? Who disappeared them? What is it that they don't want us to see? You know, and of course, you know, there's been all that video footage that was released a couple weeks ago that people are still scouring over. And, here we are. And they've completely vanished these eyewitness interviews. Can we smell cover-up, folks? That's our government at work. That's our taxpayers at work. These are the people that we elect so that they can lose important video footage over the quote unquote insurrection. You know, it's the worst thing to happen to democracy in the United States ever. And we're going to just conveniently lose a bunch of that video footage and with those interviews. That's just freaking lovely, right? Then, of course, this past week, George Santos expelled from Congress. That doesn't happen very often, so of course that made the news. And of course, he hasn't actually been charged with anything that I know of. Lots of people that have been for it, lots of people that are voting it. I don't know. What do you all think? Guess we can maybe talk about that. A federal judge denied Trump presidential immunity for January 6th charges. Also very convenient. And then here's one that was interesting. Black Lives Matter Rhode Island founder endorses Trump and the GOP. This BLM founder is saying, hey, yeah, you know, Democrats, they're actually screwing us up the butt with no lube, and we're finally starting to figure that out. And so maybe we should not be aligning ourselves and supporting the Democrats anymore. So I think that's hopeful news, you guys, you know, that there is hope after all, that, you know, people are waking up to some of this corruption that the Democrats have been doing, having the, you know, their with their policies, especially here in Oregon. We've talked about it, you know, till we're blue in the face. And that this seems a hell of a lot more racist with their policies than, you know, and just perpetuates it, especially with our education system. We've talked about that, because it's apparently racist to expect black people to have a solid understanding of math and reading and writing. So that's racist. So we can't require it in our for high school graduation anymore, because we don't want to be racist. What? Yeah, sorry, black folks. According to our leaders here in Oregon, if you're black, your brain just is not capable of these things, and you should not be expected to actually have a handle on it and graduate high school and know how to do math and reading and writing. You know, because we don't want to be racist or anything. So, you know, don't be offended, right? You should be happy. Everybody should be clapping for that, right? Anyway, in other news, Pfizer is getting sued by Texas over the COVID jab claims. I'm liking that. I hope more states follow suit because the effectiveness, I mean, it was lie after lie after lie. Let us not forget the constant stream of lies about the effectiveness of the COVID jab. And I think it's about time that, yeah, Pfizer, Moderna, all of them start getting sued for the lies that they helped push and the research that they held back. And while, you know, saying, oh, yeah, here's all the research, here's how safe it is, while at the same time not disclosing a whole hell. As more time goes on, the more we're seeing how, you know, that there was a lot of stuff that they were not putting forth, that they were hiding, that they were covering up, and we're seeing it more now and now, more unexplained deaths, sudden death syndrome is continuing to happen, and that's still hush-hush. You're still not hearing a whole lot about it. You're hardly seeing on the front page news, you know, all the pilots that have had sudden instances of, you know, blacking out or heart attacks or all kinds of stuff while they're in the air, you know, at an unprecedented level. In addition to just about every area where the COVID shots were mandated, we're seeing huge spikes of sudden death syndrome and also, you know, heart problems and strokes and cancers and all kinds of stuff coming out. I don't think that Pfizer and Moderna could be sued enough, and including our own government. Like, you know, we need to, our own government help push this, the whole lie on us and the tyranny on us. And I think it's about time, you know, how long is it going to be before people actually get sent to prison for the harm that they did to us? Anyway, and we can get into another conversation about that. Let's see. The U.S. Congress vows to pass a massive defense bill. So they want to massively increase the defense bill, give more money to the Department of Defense. Why? So that the Department of Defense and the Pentagon can have even more money to not be able to order and fail yet another audit? You know, how are they going, you know, how many years in a row are they planning on failing an audit? It's backwards to me that the people that we have voted for and elected to Congress want to hand over even more money to the one and only department within our government that has failed their audit 6 years in a row, 7 years in a row, to the tune of around $2 trillion. Why would we want to increase the budget of the most unaccountable department there is? Boy, those warmongers, man, they just got to have more money, don't they? And then last but not least on my list, at least in the show description, apparently a report came out in the New York Times. Israel knew about Hamas planned attack on October 7th. They knew about it for over a year. They were warned about it. They got information on these plans and what was being planned and when it was going to happen. And apparently Israeli intelligence said, we're just going to dismiss it. How many times is that going to happen, right? How many times is it that, see, that sure reminds me a lot of, I don't know, 9/11, where our own government did the same thing, conveniently dismissed the warning, conveniently dismissed intelligence pointing to what was going to happen. And so my question is, did they just sit back and let it all happen? So is this a repeat? Did Israel do a repeat? Allow Hamas's planned attack to happen so that we could be where we're at right now? All very good questions. So with all that said, there is, of course, more. I could keep going on and on. Like, it's been a busy week in tyranny land, folks. And so it looks like we do have several people raising their hand. But first, before I bring anybody in, I want to say hi to Valerie, co-host chair. Valerie, we missed you. We missed you last week. So glad to have you back. How have you been? What you up to?
Well, it is good to be back. Just being busy as usual. So I got scheduled to work last Sunday, so wasn't able to make it. Won't be able to make next week either, but after that it shouldn't be a problem moving forward. But still have bills to pay, so gotta work.
That is true. That is true. Well, we'll miss you next week. But yeah, hopefully things get back to normal. And then no more work-related interruptions. But that's a good reason. If you're going to have to miss the show, I would rather have it be because you have a job to do instead of, like, being sick or some kind of emergency or something. So, you know, work is a good excuse.
Absolutely. No kidding.
Forgive you. Has there been anything that in the news here in Oregon or nationally or anything that jumped out at you this past week that you've had in mind to bring up?
Well, it was actually rather fitting that you played that piece at the beginning about speech, because we just had a well-known conservative radio show host here in Oregon get canceled from, well, let's see, how do I, it stemmed from a Republican senator here in Oregon. There was a bill that he sponsored that had 10 co-sponsors, 8 of whom were Democrats, 2 were Republicans, and it actually had the support of our Democratic governor. So that might tell you a little bit there about the bill. But he was basically holding the senator accountable and pointing out some of the discrepancies of what he was claiming to do versus reality. He voiced his opinion about it. He was speaking about the impact that it was going to have in the communities, and he even had the senator on his radio show with him. Well, that didn't go over too well. The senator's name is actually Senator David Brock Smith, and he apparently did not appreciate being called out, so to speak, or even just even as simple as just having someone having an opinion is really what it comes down to. And 2 of his representative friends sent emails to the radio show complaining. And then his top campaign contributor actually threatened a lawsuit against the radio company if they did not kick this gentleman off the air. So the radio company decided to fire him and his producer, and he is no longer on the radio. So all of this coming from, you know, I will criticize any party, really, any person, but I will hold Republicans to an even higher standard simply because they claim to care about the Constitution, claim about to care about protecting our rights and our liberties. And so when they are complicit in an action like this, it's not okay. And I think that they need to be called out even more so. For him to be somebody that claims to defend liberty and the rights of people and then get his panties in a bunch because somebody disagreed with him,
yep,
and was vocal about it. His top campaign contributor threatens a lawsuit and shuts down and cancels this radio show host.
Free speech can be inconvenient sometimes, huh? Boy,
right?
You know, it's all great until it's inconvenient.
Yeah,
oh,
I mean,
my God,
biggest,
I see, ask tough questions. I see, criticize. Shut them down.
The most important aspect of free speech is dissenting speech. That is the most important aspect of it. Without that, you live under tyrannical rule. And so for a Republican senator to sit there and be complicit in silencing this host, it's disgusting.
I mean, do Republicans here in Oregon, like, are they confused as to, like, what actually being a conservative is supposed to be about? You know, are they so influenced by our Democrat authoritarian rulers here in Oregon that even the Republicans can't seem to prevent that mentality from seeping into their brains? Is that what's going on?
I have no idea, but it seems that too many of them only care about the rights of others as long as it is convenient for them. As soon as it becomes an inconvenience, then away with them.
Exactly, and it's not like this radio host was like, you know, slandering them or anything like that. You know what I mean? It's like this host was apparently just like, hey, I'm going to ask some tough questions here. Hey, I'm going to question what you just said, you know, and have a discussion with you. And I'm disagreeing with you on something, you know. So that's all it was. It's like, I don't understand the problem with this. You know, it doesn't make any sense to me.
And even with what he wrote, some of it was opinion in there, but the majority of what he wrote for his show, like you can go to, it's the Rob Taylor Report, and you can go to his webpage and you can see what he has written there. And he quoted from the bill that the senator had written, the parts of it that he had an issue with and why he had an issue with it. I mean, he copied and pasted emails. So he didn't it wasn't just his opinion. He was actually showing the actual information to people. And apparently that's not okay here in Oregon.
Apparently not. We need to start changing that, you know, and calling these things out more and more and more. Absolutely. I'm glad that you sent me that because I had no idea. I hadn't heard of it until you had sent it to me in our chat. And we do have some people raising their hand here in the queue. So why don't we start bringing some of these folks in? Of course, if you're out there and you're listening you want to join the conversation, call in 563-999-3698. Press lucky number 1. That raises your hand in the queue, and that lets me know that you want to join the conversation. So I'm going to go ahead and bring Mike on in, and I'm going to go ahead and bring Boyd on in. And anybody else in the switchboard, go ahead and raise your hand. Happy to bring you on in, and we can start yapping about all the lovely things that have been going on this past week. Hey, Mike.
Yeah, I mean, you would think that Republicans would understand freedom of speech, all right? You would think that, right? I mean, look, we get that for the longest time, Democrats hated Rush Limbaugh. They had the whole hush rush bill and all that stuff they eventually dropped it after a while, but were trying to shut him down, right? Because he was holding their feet to the fire. And he held some Republicans' feet to the fire because, you know, of course, the liberal Republicans and all that, you know, the Cheneys and the Kinzingers and people like that, you know, that were the Boehners and all those people. But you would think that Republicans would understand that, right? You would think that this guy who apparently, if I'm not, he's been on the radio there for a while, right? He had been on the radio there for years, right, Valerie, this radio host?
Yes. He's been on the radio for years. He's had the representatives that emailed a complaint, these two that were friends with the senator, as well as the senator, have been on his show before. They've had some mm-hmm. good conversations. They haven't always agreed on things, but on this one, they got their panties in a bunch.
Well, I mean, that sounds like, well, I mean, it didn't happen quite that way here because we have this guy who does Louisiana politics on like a radio network or whatever that covers basically Louisiana by the name of Moon Griffon, and he's had different politicians on his radio show, and at one point, and this was way back when Bobby Jindal wanted to be on his show, and then after he gets elected, because Griffon was, you know, holding his feet to the fire, he got his panties in a bunch and never went back on Griffon's show. So it just doesn't happen. These politicians can be sensitive folk, you know?
Just a little bit. I had put out a notice through People's Rights. I sent out a text message if Senator Smith didn't want attention, he's certainly getting attention. People are speaking about it. I sent out a text message to over 3,000 people with a link to some information about what had taken place and encouraged people to call and email the senator. I had put in what I wrote, I put that this is a Republican senator, a senator who is a party of a who is part of a party that claims to uphold and defend the right to free speech, the most important aspect of which is dissent. To be complicit in the silencing of the voices of those with whom we disagree is un-American, contrary to the values upon which this country is founded, cowardly, repulsive, and tyrannical. This country was born of dissenting voices. Our founding fathers didn't shy away from debate, disagreement, or conflicting beliefs. They embraced them, encouraged them, and believed so strongly in them that they enshrined the freedom to voice them in the Constitution. Disagree, debate, speak, yell at each other if you must, then suck it up, buttercup, and get over it. I mean, there's a little bit more to it, but if you don't like something that somebody has to say, don't listen. Don't participate in their show. Don't go back on. But to sit there and silence them, that is a tactic of tyranny. It is a tactic of those that wish to control opposition, and we cannot let it abide, let alone in a party that is supposed to uphold the values that this nation was founded upon. And Republicans are, I mean, I personally am a registered Republican, just simply because we have a two-party system, essentially. But they are just as bad as Democrats in different ways. And we've lost this country, and Republicans are complicit in it. And it's actions like these that we cannot tolerate, and we have to hold to a higher standard those that are supposed to be upholding, that claim to be upholding these values. The left does not, they don't even bother to try and claim to uphold the values of that this country is founded upon. It's all about their emotions and equality, and not even equality. It's, I'm not getting into that, but for Republicans to do this to a conservative talk show host,
we could go, we pick up the whole rest of the show just on that one.
Oh my goodness.
Right there.
It irks me to no end that a Republican of all people would do this. And people need to get pissed about it. They need to get angry, and they need to hold them accountable. Because if those that claim to uphold these values are willing to do this, we're screwed. I mean, we're screwed already as it stands. But this is just, this takes it to a whole other level. And they cannot be allowed to get away with it and not be held accountable. I'm shutting up now. It might be a little bit of a pet peeve of mine. I'll leave it at that.
A little bit. That sense. But no, I'm right there with you. I mean, this is what we're dealing with here. Is just this. It's the two-party system is the problem. Because I mean, sometimes you see a Democrat that is more liberty-minded than the Republican. You know, we see that happen sometimes. I'm actually sometimes surprised with Ron Wyden. I mean, he is, you know, our Senator Ron Wyden. Once in a while, he'll surprise me. You know, like he's like very left, you know, very Democrat. And once in a while, I'm like, whoa, you know, he just did something that, you know, actually is liberty-minded, you know. He's one of the people that I had sent you that article from a couple of weeks ago about the tracking of cell phone records of just about anybody. Secretive White House surveillance program gives cops access to trillions of U.S. phone records. And it was our Senator Ron Wyden, Democrat, on the Intelligence Committee that brought this to light. He's actually standing up for our right to privacy and for our Fourth Amendment. Like, you don't have a warrant for this stuff, you know, but there's this secret program that's allowing local police and sheriff's departments to just anybody that has their service through AT&T or any company that uses their infrastructure, all they have to do is call up and ask, hey, we want, you know, and they don't even have to ask for a specific person. They can ask for a whole group of people. They can ask for the person they're interested in, and then everybody that that person talks to, everybody that those people talk to, everybody that those people talk to, on down the line, it's like endless. They can get it, you know, and it's like one of those things where once in a while, Ron Wyden surprises me, and it's like, whoa, dude, you know, here's this total Democrat that I usually disagree with who is actually going up there and saying, hey, you know, I'm trying to protect the privacy rights and due process rights and, you know, actually requiring probable cause for law enforcement agencies to get all this data on people and trying to protect our data. It's like, okay, well, you know, why isn't it, you know, Republicans that are screaming and yelling about this? You know what I mean? Like, we would think that the conservative Republicans, you know, that value our rights, our Bill of Rights and our Constitution and being conservative and protecting us, you would think that they would be the ones that are sounding the alarm on this kind of stuff. But no, it comes from a Democrat. So it's, you know, this is the state of affairs that we're in. You know, we can no longer be in this mindset where just because somebody has an R next to their name on the ballot, or a D next to their name on the ballot, that you can't just assume that person actually holds any kind of value to our Bill of Rights and our Constitution. You can't assume it. You actually have to do a little bit of legwork and a little bit of research, you know, and a little bit of homework to figure out if this person's a fraud or not, you know, and it goes both aisles. Okay, I'll shut up now.
Well, you just kind of prompted, well, you and Robert actually both kind of prompted something because he brought up another incident of Republicans here in Oregon being completely spineless and not standing for the rights of the people and the Constitution a couple years back, December 21st at the Capitol. So the Oregon legislature had closed all of their proceedings to the public. The people could not access the building whatsoever. Their third special legislative session was closed yet again, and a bunch of people showed up to the Capitol because they had a right to be in there. Our Oregon Constitution, Article 4, Section 14, specifically states that deliberations are to be open. The deliberations of each house, of committees of each house or joint committees, and of committees of the whole shall be open. Each house shall adopt rules to implement the requirement of the section, and the houses jointly shall adopt rules to implement the requirements of the section and any joint activities that the two houses may undertake. Well, the legislature had passed something or other to suspend certain rules. They were keeping the people out. People showed up. We had a representative named Mike Nierman who walked out of the building and let people in. OSP got involved. They kept people out. They shot people with pepper spray, with those little pepper balls or whatever. They used gas. They used batons. They pushed an older gentleman down. I myself personally got shoved downstairs with, I had a nice little 4-inch bruise on the back of my side from a baton. And the people were agitated, but they were still remaining peaceful. They weren't throwing anything like Antifa does. They weren't, you know, initially they just wanted to be inside the building where they had a right to be. Well, anyway, the Republican representatives, they decided to vote along with the Democrats to expel Representative Nierman. All he did was he upheld Oregon's Constitution and the rights of the people, and every single Republican legislator representative
voted to expel him. He was the only one that stood for the people. And when you listen to the people share their, some of the Democrat representatives were talking about how they felt. And, it was so off topic when they were giving their little speeches about why he should be expelled. It was disgusting. I mean, people were outside listening, like, what on earth is going on? What are they even talking about? But not a single Republican stood by Representative Nierman's side and said he did the right thing. Not one of them. They threw one of their own under the bus. And Representative Nierman was not just like a wishy-washy, lukewarm, just there. He was one of the best representatives that we had that actually was vocal, that fought for the people, that listened to his constituents. I mean, when they were looking to figure out who would fill his position, the people wanted him back in there because according to the law here, they could have reappointed him. And instead, they didn't. I mean, Republicans need to grow a backbone. If they want to blame everything on the Democrats, and the Democrats have a majority, and the Democrats do this, and the Democrats do that. Well, y'all are part of the problem, too, because you don't stand up for what's right. You don't do what you're supposed to. You don't stand for the people, and you're not vocal about it. And you tuck tail and run at the smallest thing. They want to appease everybody, and they want to pay lip service, and they want to get along with their colleagues across the aisle. And at some point, grow a pair and do your damn job. I'm shutting up now.
I absolutely am right with you. And I do remember that. I didn't know that you were there, though. And you actually got hit with a baton and stuff. I mean, wow, you know. But I do remember that. It was like, I remember watching that, and I'm like, what's the problem here, you know? I mean, nobody was vandalizing anything. Nobody was destroying anything. Nobody was, you know, throwing Molotov cocktails around or anything. You know, they were just, you know, demanding that, hey, you know, why all of a sudden do we have this rule, you know, that circumvents our own Oregon Constitution and our right to be here? And I remember that. Yeah. And it's just like, you know, I think it was kind of on the tails of, like, you know, everybody, January 6th was on everybody's mind. Everybody was reactionary.
It was right before January
6th. Oh, it was before. That's right. I thought
It was like 2.5 weeks before January 6th, and there were a couple places that actually referenced what happened at Oregon's Capitol as being a precursor to January 6th, which they were completely unrelated. But the point was is that, you know, their voices were being silenced, and I'm not going to say anymore. I have said plenty.
Well, yeah, that's the problem. But you're absolutely right.
No,
you know, it's
Val,
just, they get
Val,
so compliant, you know. Oh, go ahead, Boyd.
Val,
say yes.
More. Say more. Say more. You're doing good.
I say
just
so
say
much
more.
All the time. I
say more.
Oh,
yeah,
her
blood is almost to the boiling point, so she's trying to just turn the heat down a little bit.
Listen to me, say more, because you guys are on topic, and if you stop talking, topic's going to change, and it's going to drift. Say more. You're on point. You're doing good. Say more. Let us know how you really feel. You can yell and scream and
Valerie
cuss and
wasn't
do
missed,
all that stuff.
She?
You're not going to offend nobody here.
Oh.
You always bring great stuff to the table. That's why we love you here. You always bring really good stuff to the table. You know, I try, but I really enjoy because you're very well-spoken about it and you're very passionate about it. And so, I don't want to shut you up, but, you know, of course, yeah, you know, everything that you're saying is absolutely right, and it's not just Oregon that's like this. You know, we have these spineless cowards that get elected, and then, you know, I don't get so mad that they're elected initially, because we don't know they're spineless cowards until they're elected and they get up and they're supposed to be representing the people and representing our state constitution and our U.S. constitution, depending on, you know, what office they hold. And then they chicken out, you know. They go, run, like you said, running with their tail between their legs when it comes time to actually speak up and dissent against everybody else, you know. And for fellow so-called Republican conservatives to not even stand up with this, you know, with him, you know what I mean? And just, yep, go ahead, we're going to vote along with the Democrats here. We don't want to go against the grain, you know. We're going to be little chicken shits and not do our job. And that's when I get pissed, is when they get reelected, you know. It's like, okay, people, that's when I get really mad at the people, the voters, for reelecting, you know, these cowards. You know, they, it's like they already proved themselves to be cowards. Why would you want to reelect them, you know? That's what angers me. You know, I get mad at the people, you know, at that point. You know, they're at one, you know, when they're initially doing this kind of stuff, I'm mad at the legislator or the person that's in office for doing what they've done or not doing what they should do. But after that, after they're reelected, then I get mad at the people for reelecting them again, for being stupid, you know, because they're just dumb. They're just idiots if they're going to reelect these chumps that back down and have no spine.
Well, they keep electing them because they don't know any different, because we have no longer taught ourselves, our children, anybody what this country was founded on, what liberty itself means, what the values of this country are, how to we have raised and taught people to just comply and shut up, to get along, or there's, you know, or for fear of repercussions. And people are cowards, and people are happy to be ignorant. They are happy living in their own little bubble, in their own little world. They don't want to know the truth. They don't want to know what being an American is all about. They don't want to know what the true meaning of liberty is, because as soon as they truly understand those things, then there is no way on earth that they could remain silent and that they could remain on the bench, because they would start to see all these different things happening, and it would make them mad, and it would motivate them, and they would get active. I don't think anybody who truly loves this country can understand what this country was supposed to be and not do something about it. I mean, it's not possible. I personally don't think so. I mean, every single person that I have met that has a true understanding of those things, or even if they're just starting to scratch the surface, they start doing stuff because they see what's happening, they see where we're going, and they don't want that for themselves, they're for their neighbors, for their children, their grandchildren. But you know, hey, as long as we're all blind and ignorant and happy to be so, then things will just keep going. I don't even know where I was going with that, but our representatives, who I don't think most of the time even deserve to be called representatives, and the people are both equally at fault. And there is, with as much information as we have available to us at our fingertips, there is nobody that has an excuse for not knowing these things. Look it up. Read for yourself. It's all there. If you really want to know, you can go find it. People don't want to know. It's just, it's an inconvenience. We went from people that were willing to die for this country to people that don't want to know because it's an inconvenience. That's how far we have fallen.
Yeah, and you know what? Guess what? Sometimes liberty and our rights are damn inconvenient, and it's supposed to be. That's the whole point. It's supposed to be inconvenient, especially for our government.
Well,
right?
They want the ability to exercise them. They want the ability to, you know, do this, that, or the other. They enjoy the freedoms and liberties that they have, but they don't want to lift a finger to preserve them. It's horse pucky.
You are absolutely right.
They'll complain about them when they lose them.
The one question that the show host should have asked that I'm sure he didn't ask was, okay, who bought you? Of that representative,
well,
who bought him? Who's paying you?
That would be a good question.
Who bought you?
Right. Well, so when you actually, I'll have to post the links in the chat. When you actually look at the ties that his top campaign contributor has to Asia and whatnot, it kind of, I don't know, one can take from that what they want and run with it, but it always comes down to money. And that's the disgusting thing, is that people sacrifice their values for money. And, you know, people say, you know, money is the root of all evil, which, you know, actually it's the love of money. You know, people, it irritates me.
You know, I think that the other element is the power that money brings. And then the power gets to their head. And Joe Gibson is raising his hand here in the queue, so I'm going to go ahead and bring him on in, not to interrupt. And then we also have a Skype caller raising their hand. So let's find out who we have here for the Skype number. Hello, hello, Joe Gibson, you're on. Skype number, you're on. Who do we got?
You got Sarge. You just got to keep him.
Hey, Sarge, your voice sounds kind of croaky. Have you been yelling and screaming or something? What happened to your voice?
Oh, yeah. Every now and then, you know, I got to recover from it. But I got plenty of cough drops, so I ain't worried about it.
Right on. Well, yeah, I hope you kick whatever it is that you got. Boy. And then Gunslinger, I saw that you just raised your hand, so I'm going to go ahead and fling her on in to join the party. All right. Joe Gibson, what's on your mind? What you got going on?
I need a few minutes.
Oh, okay. No problem. Gunslinger, what about you? How you doing? Oh, we got another Skype caller too. Raising their hand. Hey, Gunslinger. let's find out who Skype caller number two is while we're bringing everybody into the party here. Hello,
John,
you are
Doe.
Unmuted. Who do we got?
John Doe.
John Doe. Hey.
What's up, gang?
Good to have you coming in. Doing good. We only got a couple people left in the switchboard that haven't raised their hands, so everybody wants to join this party. So awesome.
Yeah. So
what else do we got going on?
Apparently this is about the time when we stray off topic, because we're having kind of an awkward pause here, so somebody's going to eventually change the topic.
Well, that's good, because we rarely focus on just one topic on the show. There's several topics, obviously, that I could still bring up. In more Oregon news, I found it kind of interesting that once again, Oregon cannabis farmers grew too much wheat. The bumper harvest will keep pressure on prices and the tax revenues underpinning Measure 110. The Oregon's cannabis industry nearly every day brings a new lawsuit for unpaid bills, a new lien for unpaid taxes, and another company thinking about giving up. At the root of the industry's problems, oversupply. Too much weed sold by too many retailers means lower prices, which means producers, processors, and even middlemen lose money. So apparently this is a problem. We have too much pot. Again, our state limited the number of new grow licenses. And my feeling is we need our federal government out of the way, because that is the only reason why we can't export our surplus to other states, you know, because, you know, Oregon, if there's one thing that Oregon does and does well is grow pot, always has, even before it was legal. And when we have an oversupply like we do right now, it's great because it does keep it cheap, you know. Our pot here is, like, really cheap compared to most other states, especially, you know, California and Washington, whose taxes are so high. So, you know, you pay pretty much twice as much for it in those states than you do here. So it's great for the consumer, but, you know, not so much for the retailers and the growers and the producers. And when we have so much oversupply, the only thing stopping us from being able to export to other legal states is the federal government, and they need to get the hell out of the way, in my opinion. So I don't know, any thoughts on that before we go on to a couple other topics?
I really think the status quo ought to be kept, because, you know, if they're overproducing, okay, and the prices come down, you know, then it's the only thing that will be coming down in this time of inflation, and the consumers need a break. Besides, you know, Oregon needs everybody on pot, so they can't think, you know? I mean, take, for instance, the deal with, you know, everybody getting kicked out of the Capitol building because, you know, they wanted to, and it was against the state constitution. Well, if I was the state representatives and congress people in your Congress, I would want to keep the status quo just as it is, to keep everybody mellowed out so they won't come in and disturb them while they're fucking you. You know how it is when somebody walks in on you while you're fucking somebody. You know, it just spoils the moment.
Very true. Well, I mean, I smoke pot. You know, it's no big secret. I've smoked pot like a long time, and it's like a night thing. You know, but you know, once upon a time, I used to smoke sativa strains of pot when I did website, because it helped me focus. Because I have one of those brains that, you know, I'm always looking for a distraction. And so I'm very easily distracted. My train of thought can be easily distracted. And when I was doing websites, again, this was, you know, 20 years ago, in order to focus, I would smoke the sativa, because the sativa doesn't get you tired usually. Sativa kind of, it helped me focus and helped me, back in the day, like, doing websites was a very tedious thing, you know, and looking at the code and stuff and tweaking code and things like that. You know, it wasn't quite as easy and automatic to do as it is now. And so it was very tedious work to go through and do a website. And it helped me focus. You know, I don't think I would have been able to do it if I didn't have that pot to smoke to help keep my brain from going off in 100 different directions and being able to sit down and, you know, for like 6 hours straight and, you know, focus on going through the code and cleaning it up and refreshing and uploading and doing all that tedious work. So that's where
well,
it helps me.
You could have stayed legal by getting a prescription for Ritalin.
No thanks.
To keep focused.
I'd rather smoke something that's a plant instead of pop a pill where you have no idea what's in it.
Yeah, but that way you would have been, at least be supporting a big corporation, you know.
No thanks. No thanks. And I'd probably fly off the wall anyway.
Well, yeah, your weed may be low, but what happens, the problem with some for some people is what happens after you smoke the weed? And generally after that, after you smoke the weed, you get the munchies, right? And well, when you get the munchies, you got to find, you got to pay for the food, and the food's got the inflation again, and there's your vicious circle, you know?
That's true. Well, I had a strategy for that, actually. I still to this day, I don't get hungry. I lived for quite a while after I smoked pot because I trained myself to curb the munchies. And because I was trying to lose weight, and, of course, I would get the munchies. And so I bought the most disgusting, cheap, generic sugar-free pudding, just nasty. And so when I would get the munchies, I would force myself to eat this nasty-ass sugar-free, waxy, cheap pudding. I would force myself to eat it. And so I trained myself, like, not to get the munchies. And so even to this day when I smoke pot, I won't smoke it before I eat. I'll smoke it after I eat, because if I'm hungry and I smoke pot, then it's going to be another couple hours at least before I get hungry again after I smoke pot. So there are ways to combat the munchies. Just saying. Advice for anybody else out there that smokes pot.
Do you realize how many people you're hurting by doing that? I mean, you know, God damn it, girl, you've got to keep the money flowing through the society. And by getting the munchies, going out and buying pizza or whatever, you know, that's part of the economic system we've got here, you know, and it needs to be kept moving.
Yeah, I know. Damn it. You know, I didn't eat an entire box of cereal. Gosh, like, you know, I could tell you stories of munchies when I was a teenager and the weird ass we would eat when we got the munchies. So yeah, that was another thing. It wasn't just to lose weight, it was to save on the grocery bill, because it's like, you know, get the munchies and eat. And like one time I think I was like 17 or something, and my friend and I we got really, really stoned. And between the two of us, we ate an entire box of cereal, a family-sized package of macaroni and cheese, a big bowl of ice cream with chocolate chip cookies. I mean, it was like,
well, there you go. You have been a responsible pothead by keeping the money flowing through the economic system in Oregon.
Well,
you
I lived
were,
in Minnesota
helped,
at the time,
were,
and it
were
was
help,
illegal.
You were helping out everybody in the state of Oregon by spending all that money, you know, on your munchies. I mean, how many families do you think you supported with all those munchies? You probably supported, you know, at least seven
guilty.
Or eight families.
I should feel guilty for training myself not to get the munchies. No wonder why the economy went to crap.
Well, I can tell you, I hurt the economy when I quit drinking. When I quit drinking, Olympia beer was sold to Ham's distributorship, and Seagram's took it. What was it? I think a 6 or 8 point hit on the stock market.
Yeah, when a professional stops, you know. What do you expect to happen, right, Molly? You were a professional drinker.
That's right. I mean, I was single-handedly doing the best I could to keep the economy flowing, not only in the United States, but also in Canada.
Yep.
I was supporting two countries.
Oh, man. Yeah, I probably shouldn't have given that advice to everybody if you smoke pot, how to train yourself not to get the munchies. We'll have an economic collapse if everybody starts doing that. Oh, my goodness. But anyways.
And I know Sarge is over there in his little neck of the woods. He's got a grin on his face agreeing with everything that I just said.
Well, you guys were talking earlier.
Oh, I'm sure.
About you know people not being able to pay attention or stay focused or get involved with things. How can we change the system if we're not even considered citizens in this underneath the Washington D.C.
That is kind of what I had wanted to speak to, because I think Laura's already forgotten what she said in the introduction, in which she said now we have the opportunity. Talk about all the SHIT that's gone on the week before. Did you forget you said that earlier?
If you're a resident, not a citizen.
I still got stuff to talk about. You know, I still got even more stuff to talk about. Getting into some stuff that I did mention. Yeah.
But I'd like to revisit with the complaints that I'm hearing earlier about the two-party system and the corruption that's involved in the two-party system. And I've been thinking about this for quite a bit lately. And I got a few thoughts I'd like to share with you. And I'm not requiring agreement on any of it. I'm just putting it out there for your consideration. Because, as you know, we regularly hear the complaints about the two-party system and how the two parties are just alike. And it doesn't matter which one you vote for, because there's a similar amount of corruption, no matter whom you select. And there's certainly merit to that opinion. I share many of those complaints, but I'd like you to consider this also. One thing about a two-party system that it does provide is a measure of stability and certainty in the outcome. Now, you may say that is good, or you may say that is bad, but there's no doubt that it does. Now, let me back up my point here. In 1800, when they elected Thomas Jefferson, who was running against Pinckney, a senator named Pinckney, they had an electoral tie. It was a tie. Neither guy got a majority of the vote. So they had to go to the House of Representatives to select the vote. And nobody was satisfied with the outcome that gave us Jefferson, even though it was turned out to be a pretty good choice, led them to create the 12th Amendment to reform what was wrong with the Article II method of selecting the president. And this, in turn, led to over decades, led to what we got now, the two-party system since the end of the Civil War, with the Republican Party and the Democrats. So, one of the problems when you have a multi-party, a significant number of parties that challenge is one part or the other doesn't get a plurality. There's nothing that approximates a national consensus. You don't get a majority. That's right. The Nazi Party never did get a majority of the popular vote. they were the largest plurality in the Reichstag. But since they didn't get a majority of the vote, President Hindenburg had to ask Hitler to form a cabinet. And that's how Germany got Adolf Hitler as chancellor. In the United States, if neither president, a majority of the electoral vote, guess who decides who becomes the president? The House of Representatives. Now, one thing a two-party system does do is it minimizes the likelihood of there being a splinter party that does not enjoy a national consensus of some sort. Now, again, I'm not necessarily saying that's good. Sometimes things need to be shook up. But let's not pretend it might not be a big shakeup that might not also be bad. And by the way, when it comes to corruption in the parties, look, I agree with the fact that they are both corrupt. There's one distinct difference, though, in the manner of corruption with the Republicans and the Democrats that I cannot ignore. When the Republicans are corrupt, they are rationally corrupt. It is a normal course of human corruption that you see. A will to power, a will to money, a will to increase your prestige. And oftentimes, yes, an unconcern about the plight of your fellow citizen. With the Democrats, you got the same thing. But you also got a measure of lunacy, insanity, and dementedness that is absent for the most part from the Republican corruption. So you got all the normal corruption of the Republicans, plus the insanity that entails from this particular progressive mind bias that infects the Democratic Party. So I really don't believe they're both quite equal. They're both bad, but one is just exponentially beyond measure worse than the other. Because for me, the hardest thing I find to deal with is evil that is tinged by madness. And the Democratic Party is just infected with it. But again, that's not really my main point. My main point is the idea of the fact that when you have a lot of parties competing in an election, you run the risk of having to have a coalition government that is often extremely unstable, even more unstable than the ones we're used to. I'm just putting it out there for you to consider. Doesn't mean you have to agree with it. Just consider it when you talk about the fact that you lament the two-party system.
All right, your two-party system, you hung up on that. You seem to forget, in order to preserve the Union, Lincoln had
I'm not saying I'm hung up on it now, Joe. Don't get me wrong. We only hear one side of this argument all the time. That is never a good thing. You have to consider all the consequences of any course of action. You've got to consider it. You can't ignore it.
I understand that, but in order to preserve the Union, Lincoln had to perform some drastic actions, right? So one thing he did was he was the establishment of the executive government, which suspended large portions of the Constitution and created a government that was that was more corporate than republic. Okay, that was the proclamation of 1862 and 1863. Now he intended on reversing that, but his head was blown off. Of course, they assassinated him. So we never reversed that. So we never went back to our republic form of government. And you're talking about two-party system or the Republican and Democrats. First of all, the same money funds both parties, so it doesn't matter. You have to chop the head of the snake off. That's the Federal Reserve. So that's irrelevant. But we have to get back to a republic form of government first.
Mm-hmm. Right. And think about this, you know, in 2002, how did we get Bill Clinton? We got Bill Clinton because he didn't get the majority of the vote. He got a plurality of the vote. He won with, 43-44% of the vote because...
That is right. That is correct.
Because Ross Perot took about, 19%?
19%.
From George W. Bush. Ross Perot if he hadn't have decided to run, George Bush would have won that election. You know, yeah, and I'm not saying that Bush is on corrupt. I'm not saying that. I'm just saying what happened. And this is what a lot of people are saying is probably going to happen in 2024 because we've got Biden doesn't want to step aside. We got people like Jill Stein, Cornel West, and RFK Jr. that are going to run as third-party candidates, and they're not going to take votes away from Trump. They're going to take it away from Biden. Yeah. So Trump may win, but he'll win a plurality of the vote, and we'll get Trump. But you know, and they'll complain about it. But hey, they won't be able to do anything about it because they changed the goddamn they changed the rule to where the vice president is now basically a figurehead. He has nothing to say about it. He can't do anything about it. So
yeah, and Joe, I'd like to remind Joe that we had a Republican form of government in 1800. But the chaos that ensued in the wake of the election of 1800 bothered Americans so much that they decided to amend the Constitution to minimize the likelihood of it happening again. So that's why we got the 12th Amendment. And that was modified again with the 20th Amendment in case a president failed to qualify with the requisite number of electoral votes. What would happen then if on the date of the inauguration you still didn't have anybody who qualified? So they added more to the Constitution in order to deal with it. So I'm just I understand the complaints about the two-party system. I share just about all those complaints. I'm also saying
the
election is also fraught with its own hazards.
The second place winner was always the vice president. You understand that, right?
That's right, and that's what happened in 1800.
Yeah,
Aaron Burr.
So, and then,
I mean, not Aaron. I mean, I'm sorry. In 1804, that's what happened with Aaron Burr. He became vice president, and neither him nor Jefferson could get along at all. I mean, at all. Those two were at odds with each other. It's surprising that he didn't challenge Jefferson to do instead of Alexander Hamilton. I'm talking about Aaron Burr.
Right, and then, Charles, there was another one that was a controversial thing with Rutherford B. Hayes, where they called it a corrupt deal, and it was something that happened that his vice, there was a deal made, and they call him Rutherford B. Hayes and all that stuff. So it wasn't the last time that happened, where there was a deal made that with a contested election. You know.
Yeah.
So what
and
do
you remember too? That's what led to the Electoral Count Act and the Conference in the Electoral Act of 1877. That very deal they hashed out in the back room when neither candidate got a majority of electoral votes, that's what led to the Electoral Count Act of 1877 that, remember, was going to be voted upon January 6th. That's how we got that statute, because of what happened with Rutherford B. Hayes and Samuel Tilden.
Yep. That's what led to them changing that rule, making the vice president basically a ceremonial deal, taking power away from.
Yep. I know,
but
just think about the situation today, though. Let's say in 2024, we have a situation where the president of the United States is decided by the House of Representatives, because that's what the Constitution says has to be done. Now, just think about it for a minute. Either way, for either candidate, I want you all to consider what might ensue in the wake of something like that. Just consider.
They're not going to make that mistake. The elections are still rigged. They're not going to make that mistake again.
What mistake?
They're not going to let it go that close again. They're not going to. They're going to have their the elections are rigged. We know that. Did they fix anything? Have they fixed anything?
I'm not going to say. I'm not. Look, these days I ain't going to say nothing with certainty. All I can do is cite what the rules are, and if people can manipulate the situation to fit the rules that they want to obtain, then that's what's going to have to obtain. The rules are going to have to decide who becomes the president. The way these things are today, with all of this corruption and no one significantly challenging the integrity of elections, I submit to you, sir, anything is possible. Anything.
Right. And my theory still stands, bro. If these people can't get the rest of, if the Democrats can't get the rest of these people that say they're going to run as third-party candidates out of the race, what's going to happen? It doesn't matter how much they keep providing, if they keep for them, if they have, you know, like Cornel West and Jill Stein and all these, you know, and RFK Jr. and all these people that are running as third-party candidates, they're going to take votes away. They're going to take those votes away from Biden. Trump's not going to lose any votes.
I would not put all my chickens in that basket, Mike.
Yeah, because I think the variable is election integrity. I think anything is possible in this race. I'm not dismissing anything. And that's what worries me about it.
Right.
Especially when the courts go in and change the rules of elections, like they did the last time, as to who
Mark
can vote and all that other shit.
Did you hear what
they
did
in Pennsylvania? Positively
they
illegal.
Did it in Ohio. They did it in Georgia.
Did you hear what they said today on all the major networks? They say you could wake up tomorrow morning and two aircraft carriers could be at the bottom of the ocean. They're going to pull some crap. Trust me. We're going to be at war.
Well, again, those are variables, and like I said, that's why I keep saying anything is possible, anything. But we know what did. We almost certainly know what happened in 2020. We almost
certainly
know that the Democrat Party views the election of Donald John Trump as an existential threat to the very survival.
And they're not going
to
let him in there.
They are determined to stop him, no matter what they have
to do it.
So we got to be ready for anything.
He will not be elected.
Let's put it
this way. Donald J. Trump will not take oath of office in the United States. Okay? you can go and take that any way you want, but Donald J. Trump will not be taking the oath of office no matter what happens.
Let me see here. So you say that the oath of office that is required for the president-elect that he has to take before he can assume the office, you're saying that the president-elect, if the president-elect is Donald John Trump, he will not take that oath of office as required by the Constitution?
That's right.
Okay. I believe anything can happen. So I'm not going
to
dismiss anything.
And Sarge?
Yeah.
Play that one out in your head. And you'll know
I'm
what's going to happen.
I'm playing it out, man. Believe me. He doesn't want to say it, and I'm not going to say it either. I know he's coming.
I've already said it multiple times. I've said it. The A word. They figure they're looking at all these cases that are blowing up in their face. Look, that judge and
whoever's
that
shuffling around, mute yourself.
that Democrat judge in Georgia has all but open the machines up to being looked at on all on all points. So, and being looked at by the legislature, you know, so the cases in the case in Georgia may be going down the drain. We know what's going to happen. We probably know what's going to happen with the three cases in New York State. They got an incompetent guy deranged Jack Smith with the thing, and of course Chutkin, the judge there, who's a big Democrat guy, person, you know. So you got all these tricky cases that for the Democrats that they're hoping at least one of these cases sticks, which probably is not going to happen. But if none of these cases stick to Trump, which probably won't happen, and he's allowed to run, and the law says he doesn't have to run, he can run from in jail, you know, or, you know, maybe not in jail, but, with an ankle bracelet or something like that on, right, you know.
He can be elected even if he's sitting in jail.
Right, but I don't think, to tell you the truth, I don't think the Secret Service is going to allow him to be put behind bars. I don't think they're going to do that, because if they were, then he'd already be there, because he's going after this judge in New York, and the judge has already slapped him with a gag order. And if you, generally speaking, if you disobey a gag order, what do they do to you? They put you in jail, right? So,
well, theoretically, as far as I can make out for the Constitution, the president-elect just elected as either a convicted criminal or someone who is actually behind bars, which is unlikely. But again, I ain't dismissing nothing. I never thought I'd see charges like this against a former president of any type, ever. So I'm not dismissing anything. However, I don't agree it's likely, but let's say it happened. Let's say they put Trump behind bars. I imagine, theoretically, the House of Representatives can draw up articles of impeachment and send it to the Senate for trial to remove him from office. That's a possibility, too. Because, after all, impeachment is mainly a political process, even though there's a trial. So that's something that could happen as well. Like I said, we've got to consider everything that's possible, because right now we are witnessing things I never thought were even possible. So I've completely changed my notions as to what could be, because the old rules don't seem to apply anymore.
They changed the rules. That's the thing. They changed the rules. The rules
on
for
a whim.
All...
Especially if there's a plandemic going on. They can feel free to change the rules and circumvent the laws and everything just on a whim, you know, to their advantage. And also, quick injection here. I'm going to bring on Skype number, another Skype number raising their hand that I see in the queue. So let's find out who we got to join the party here.
Oh, you're going to regret pushing that button.
Hello.
Oh, you shouldn't have pushed that button. You shouldn't have done that.
Uh-oh.
What's going on, man?
We got Naj in the house. How you doing, Naj?
I'm all right. How y'all doing?
It's been a while since you've made your way to my show, so welcome on. Good to see you. I know that you usually...
I don't know what anybody is worried. I'm here to
sometimes.
Keep them in check.
Oh, what you going to do, talk for 30 minutes and put me to sleep again? Hell. Somebody said Jack Smith.
Ah, man, you know how succinct I can be. That's your bag. That's not mine. Filibustering is not my thing. You know it.
I'm sure it's not, sir. I'm sure it's not. So somebody said Jack Smith. incompetent. Huh, that was kind of interesting. So I started looking into Jack Smith. So let's see. After law school, Manhattan District Attorney's Office, pretty good job. Then moved on to Assistant District Attorney. Then he joined the United States Attorney's Office, Eastern District of New York, Assistant U.S. Attorney in Brooklyn. Famously conducted the Abner Louima case. Then he went on to Office of Prosecutor of the International Criminal Court at The Hague. Then he went on to the U.S. Department of Justice Public Integrity Section. I would say this guy is kind of qualified. Like, if you disagree saying that your man is not guilty, hey, you got your opinion, I got mine. Nothing wrong with that. But I don't think we can really say that this dude is incompetent or unqualified or something like that. This is
Stalin held a quite a career too, you know. So it doesn't mean he's qualified or he's not insane.
Don't act like Joseph Stalin wasn't a well-read, educated, highly qualified man. Now, he was highly qualified to do some terrible stuff, but he also did some pretty good.
Yeah, like Jack Smith. I think he's quite competent at being ruthless. He's utterly ruthless. And
agreed.
I say he's very competent at that.
Agreed, because he tried to take that Louima case to a death penalty. So that's interesting. So he seems to be one of those type of people.
He tried to take it to
a death penalty. But no, you guys said incompetent. I was just correcting the record on that. But hold on, man.
It's stage four TDS. Stage four deranged.
Hey, man. Y'all can do them internet jokes about TDS if y'all want to, but in the real world, man, don't nobody know what that is. That's for Signal and Twitter and all those places. In the real world, man,
that's what he has. This guy needs to have a white coat in a rubber room with some Thorazine. That's what he needs to
be. All right, hold on. Let's deal with that. You say he has TDS. A more reasonable answer might be, Trump put himself in this position by being not only the main caller in some of these instances, but no go-between. Any of these other raggedy politicians out there, they would at least had somebody else make the phone call, somebody else pull the records, somebody else move the records. The fact that he was doing all of this stuff himself is the thing that kind of hangs him the most and what made this so difficult for him. I have no idea why he made that call to Georgia on his own. He had so many underlings he could have had to make that call. Like, why do that yourself? It makes
sense.
Because
he wasn't doing anything wrong.
Yeah. The president of the United States, the power and prestige of that office, calling down to Georgia, you're already doing wrong by the phone call. The power dynamics are so...
Yeah, now, your guys really know about all
those
devious tricks, don't you? You know, Trump, he ain't hip to all that devious Machiavellian stuff. He's a straight-up kind of guy. That's why he did it. Now, I'll agree with you. That might have been reckless. That might not have been the most prudent thing to do. But, damn it, that's the reason why I want him back in office. And that's the reason why millions of people who agree with me want him back in office.
Well, there's also millions that don't want him back. So y'all got to deal with that, too.
I don't want him back in office.
When you have people that are holding up severed heads that look like Trump, when you have people like Johnny Depp saying, when was the last time an actor killed a president? You know, that type of shit. You know,
why
wouldn't anybody want him back in office? Why? Why?
Let me make a statement. He's unqualified.
Wait a minute. Let's back that up with facts. What did he do that was so terrible in his job?
Okay. First thing, in a globalized economy, he decided he was going to put in a tariff system and he was going to beat up China in the tariff system. What actually happened was he beat up U.S. farmers and the taxpayer, had to pay welfare to those U.S. farmers to keep them afloat. That's one.
I guess everybody's perfect, son. Are you perfect? Am I perfect? Let's answer that question right now.
He didn't ask.
Wait a minute.
Question.
Hang on.
He asked about why.
280.
Are you saying that he is perfect? Are you playing God?
No. Of course
whoa,
not.
Okay. You guys, hold on. He was, you guys, hold on a second. He was asked a question.
Okay.
Nobody said that he was claiming anybody's perfect. He presented a reason. Let's stick to the reason, because obviously everybody here has some common sense. Everybody knows nobody's implying anybody is perfect. Arguing over whether or not somebody's perfect or not is like 3-year-old stuff. So
where did that tariff money go? That tariff money went mostly to the farmers. That's where that tariff money went. All right.
So the tariff. Yeah, let's do that. We can do a deep dive on that. So the tariff money went to the farmers initially, those who could continue to pay their bills, but some of them were basically ran out of business because the soybean market ended up in Argentina and Brazil, who took the orders that they normally would have gotten, and now China is still doing business
because
with those
of the
people
pandemic.
Instead of those same American farmers. No, Big Agra came in and bought those people's family farms. Matter of fact, you can go to YouTube, watch a documentary on it.
They had to because
lost
of
their
the pandemic.
Based on this. Well, this wasn't the pandemic. This was the tariff.
All right. Well, okay. Let's just eat that one. Okay. Can you name anything else?
Excuse me. One question. We can do this with Biden too. So, nothing.
Yeah, that's what we need to do. Lay out the facts. That's what we need to do. Let's not just harp on one thing. Go ahead. Give me something else.
What did Trump do with the tariffs again?
Oh, God.
He enacted tariffs in order to punish China, but again, in a globalized economy that doesn't really work. And because of that, we had to spend U.S. Treasury to send to the farmers as welfare to try to keep them afloat. Some of them were able to keep their farms, but a lot of them lost their farms. And we lost that market to other countries because, again, it's a globalized economy. If you put on a tariff, you lose that sale. The people don't pay it.
Let me interject this one thing, okay? Up until 1913 or up until the time the Federal Bank was reserved, the United States of America had no taxes to anybody, and the United States of America was funded solely on import tariffs from around the world.
Because at that time we were an
American economy. That was the only income the federal government had.
Well, hold on. At that time we were an emerging economy who was trying to take markets from Europe. So, of course, we were still in their intellectual property. We were creating companies on the fly. Like, it was a real, Wild West type of system we had going on back then. But, of course, that's what emerging economies do. So that's what we did. Now, at the time, that made sense. But now, in a globalized economy, that doesn't really work, which is why nobody else does it or anybody who has significant holdings.
Why, if tariffs don't work, why does China have unfair tariffs on us and we never did on them?
China doesn't have a tariff system. China has a closed economy with the Communist Party in China, which they're not a communist country. They're a blend of communism and capitalism. But their party decides how much outside money can come in and make investments. This is why you see Trump and some of the other big corporations kind of criticize China, because they talk about, hey, you want access to our markets, but you won't give us full access to your markets. You cheat as far as how much you devalue your money, and you change the circumstances anytime you want. This is why the criticism of China is actually accurate, though. China does those things. They shouldn't be allowed to, but they do.
Okay. Let's get off the tariffs. All right. You said the tariffs already. All right. So can you name anything else?
Well, we can go to the Muslim ban, the idea that the border was the most essential thing to
Muslim ban.
On. We can get to the getting rid of I'm almost done. We can get into him getting rid of regulations, not only in the meat
packing
industry.
You pick it.
But also, you asked, brother. I'm giving them to you.
Yeah, I asked.
You
let him answer
the
question. When you get,
he's not
giving
answers. He's going, give me 20 different answers.
He's
giving me 20 different answers. Pick one.
you asked
well, they don't
what
know.
Else.
They don't
you didn't
know.
Say, give me one
no,
more
I didn't.
Thing.
No,
you
I didn't.
Him.
He gave me 20
you
different answers.
You asked him what else. What else? Well, he's
he gave me 20
stuff.
Different answers.
Let
pick
give
one.
The answer.
You can't,
no,
people,
he doesn't
I,
have to pick
minute.
One.
You are going to talk about 20 different
examples.
Subjects.
He's listing them. He doesn't have to be limited to one. Who says that? There's no rule. When you ask
how are we
going to
talk about 20 different subjects? How are we
going to
analyze 20 different subjects? How are we going to do that?
There's no rule that says he's limited to one. Come on now.
This
is what liberals do. They throw all this at you. Blah, 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 and then you can't.
Well,
you're in
you
an argument.
Asked. You asked.
You think I'm a liar?
You didn't give me one
to...
more example.
Okay.
No,
okay.
You said two
okay.
more.
Okay.
I'd like to push back against him on something he just said that is patently deceptive. And I'd like to push back against it, what he said about emergent economies and the United States being an emergent economy. And we're no different than Red China in our intellectual theft of property. Now, I'd really like to push back on that one.
Oh, we did it, man. We did it.
As a matter of fact, Naj, there were in the 19th century, okay, the 19th, remember, this is a young country. I'm going to deal with the 19th century alone. There were over 170 international lawsuits in this United States for theft of intellectual property from people alleging patent infringements from overseas. And they were fairly arbitrated and aside. People always steal. The difference with the United States is that it doesn't allow it, and it allows a fair hearing in our courts. Let me give you a famous example of one that really goes to the heart of the matter. There was a company in Germany called Mauserwerk. They make small arms. Well, the United States Armory, the United States National Army at the time that made weapons for the United States Armed Forces, manufactured a 1903 Springfield rifle. It was almost an identical copy of the bolt mechanism of the Mauser rifle. Mauser took the United States government to court in a defense industry staple, the small arm, basic infantry arm for the United States Armed Forces. And guess what? They won. The United States required the Springfield Army, which was the national army that made weapons at the time, to pay royalties to Mauser. And that didn't stop until the World War I started. And of course, such payments ceased. But between 1905 and April of 1917, the United States government had to pay royalties to Mauser, the German arms maker. See, we believe in the rule of law.
Everybody, hold that thought, please. We have less than a minute and a half left at the live broadcast, so I'm going to interject here. Anybody that's out there listening, please call in 563-999-3698. Call in within the next 1 minute and 5 seconds or so as we go into overtime so that you can continue to listen to the show. Of course, press 1 if you want me to bring you into the conversation, but you have less than a minute to call in. And real quick before the live show ends as well, I want to promote the other shows here on Blog Talk Radio besides my own here. On Mondays, we have American Statesman, Sally's show. That's 7 p.m. Eastern time. We have Joe Gibson's show, Restoring the Republic. Tuesdays, usually 7 p.m. or so Eastern time, as well as different times in the week when he decides to put on a show. We have Ron Reck's show, Crazy Nation Radio. He usually does late night on the spot shows throughout the week. We have Friday nights where I co-host Conservative Nation Media with Robert. That is 9 p.m. Eastern time. We have Donnie C's show, Beyond the Mainstream, also 9 p.m. Eastern time on Saturday night. So there's plenty of great shows out there for conservative-minded people to tune into, or not so conservative as well, to inject us other points of view. So with all that said, thank you for letting me interrupt. Thank you for holding that thought. I just needed to do the last
minute thing. I just
want to
finish it real quick. Got one more sentence to say. One more sentence, then I'm through. Okay. But for Nash to make that sort of disingenuous comparison between China and the United States, which, yes, people in the United States would steal other people's intellectual property, but it was resolved by arbitration in courts whenever the claimants made a suit. It just wasn't dismissed or ignored or set aside. And to make that sort of comparison is at the best disingenuous and at the worst deceptive.
Yes, and the Muslim ban, he defeated ISIS, okay, in the caliphate by killing Omar Bakr al-Baghdadi. I said that's pronounced his name right. I mean, you know, so defeating ISIS was, like, major right there. So and now we see where the world is now with Biden's foreign policy. We're going into World War III.
I'm going to go ahead and bring Robert Eggener in.
So
sorry to interrupt, but I'm bringing him on into the fold. He raised his hand.
Let me answer Sarge real quick. Hold on. Let me answer Sarge. So in 1791, Alexander Hamilton authorized the U.S. Treasury to pay $48 subsidize the living expenses of an English weaver who pledged to deliver to U.S. a copycat version of the British spinning machine. Samuel Slater of Devonshire, who had been apprenticed under a leading British industrialist, figuring his prospects were brighter across the Atlantic, disguised himself as a farmer and boarded a ship to the United States, signed on with a business owner in Rhode Island, and brought there Britain's cutting-edge technology of cotton spinning at the time. So, again, like, this is documented stuff. Like, this is not me making this up. This is what happened back then. We were bringing on stuff from England, France, Prussia, like, all these different countries because what? Those countries were way ahead of us. Those were established countries way back then. So, yeah, that's what happened. Sorry. It is what it is.
Yeah, but the Industrial Revolution.
I'm
going to
go ahead and bring Nathan on. Let me respond to him.
My only again, apparently you missed the part where I said there were repeated patent infringements in the 19th century. When these were brought to trial by a plaintiff, they were resolved in the international court, but in the United States copyright or patent courts. That's what I'm saying. I didn't say that didn't happen. They
Sometimes
did.
They were.
I'm saying that the rule
Sometimes
of law in the United, established in the United States for redress of such infringements was largely upheld, unlike China today.
No, it wasn't. Actually, what happened was for the majority of the time, England would make a claim about a person or a company. That company would just disappear in the middle of the night, show up in another city or another state, operating in the same function, and then repeat the process whenever they were caught. You got to remember, we didn't really have the not only the structure as far as courts, we didn't have it financially really to really run down people and look up who people were. Like, people would just, man, you go from one state to another and start the business up again. John's Shoemaking Factory. And you go somewhere else and you make John's Shoemaking Factory when they called on to you because you got the supplies from Britain. You got their machinery. So, yeah, that's something that we did. It's not a big deal. It's documented.
So wait a minute, you still haven't. What you're saying is it was difficult for the plaintiffs to make an effective case in court. That doesn't change the fact that the rule of law still existed in this country and it was possible to make such a claim. If it had merit, it was not dismissed.
Yeah, so the government, the case you brought up was the government. So the government, of course, has to be responsible, has to respond, has to pay out whatever penalty they have to. But private citizens running businesses, where you bring on something from Britain, like, nah, you would just disappear, man.
Name one business in China that isn't the government. Name one.
Oh, there's a lot of them, but are they subsidized?
No, they aren't. They're nominally private. All of them are under the control of the Chinese Communist Party, directly, day-to-day operations. All of them.
Oh,
it's in their law.
We agree on it.
How does this got to do with Trump?
Well, we were talking about Trump, and then we got into that point about intellectual property being stolen. We got into China. Now, let me ask y'all a question about Trump, because I think this will be better. because I can list out all the reasons I don't
14th
like Trump.
14th Rabbit Trail,
just,
number
no, hold,
17
hold
coming up.
Yeah, let me ask y'all this, though. What do y'all like about Trump that's not aspirational and that's not a character trait? Give me something tangible about Trump's 4 years in office that you liked as a policy or a reason for you to reelect him.
The first step.
He comes from the population. He comes from the population. He was
Again,
not groomed.
Something tangible.
He was not groomed early in his career and brought up by each other.
I got something for you, Naj. An energy policy that was deliberately aimed at reducing gasoline and energy prices in the United States. It was completely successful. As policies that created a secure border policy which minimized illegal entry into the United States. A deliberate policy toward that effect. Now, those are the first two. I got 10. But I'll let you respond to those two, and then I'll reel off a bunch more.
All right.
Okay. Hold on. See, you give me those two. Now, for one, y'all telling me that Biden is supposedly helping build back the wall again. So if that was already accomplished, why is Biden spending money building back the wall? And then for the second one, sir, that's just not true. Gas exploration advancement started during the Obama years, and that has no effect on U.S. gas prices.
Yeah,
sure.
Oh, come on.
Oh, man,
no,
please. That's why it's not looking. Just because you pee in my face does not mean it's raining. Now, look, we got 8 million illegal aliens that come across the border under this guy, and you completely ignore that. You didn't hear my point that minimized illegal entry into the country. Under Joe Biden, illegal entry into the country has been maximized.
But you
can I
told
just
me
say
you built
that
the wall
just
solved the problem.
Hold on, you guys. Can I just say that just because Trump might be better than Biden doesn't mean that Trump's good. There are so many. He does not understand the concept of liberty. He understands business.
How?
Yes. How?
Yeah. How?
Remember red flag laws that he was a proponent of? He recently just came out and was all with a statement saying that he's all for stop and frisk and indemnifying officers and.
But it's not red flag though.
Cities
increasing quantified immunity. How is that liberty?
Like there's a couple things.
Stop and frisk is not unconstitutional. It's not unconstitutional.
Yeah, let's
it's not red flag
either. Area, see what you think of it.
How are red flag laws?
Yeah, there you go.
Not constitutional, or how are red flags? Red
it's
flag
not
laws
red flag. Stop and frisk. Stop and frisk is not red flag laws.
No, I listed two different things.
Rudy
I wasn't
Giuliani
saying that they were the same.
Rudy Giuliani had that policy of stop and frisk and. Crime went down because people knew they needed to be right.
Crime went down because they took away people's freedoms and harassed and beat the hell out of people on the street. Yeah.
Yeah, people should not have to worry. People have the right to be secure in their persons. They shouldn't have to worry about walking down the street and what an officer is going to stop them for.
That's a city policy.
Okay.
That's a city ordinance. Where else in
okay,
I mean, that's
here's
not,
the, here's
that's
the
not
thing.
Policy.
Look, here's the thing. This is the thing whenever I hear this discussion. Look, Terry stop. The ruling was Terry versus Ohio that dealt with stop and frisk and whether or not an officer could articulate a reasonable suspicion that the person whom he is dealing with is either engaging in activity that could be linked to criminal actions or they presented a reasonable and imminent threat of safety to the officer. Now, they have to be reasonable. I'm not saying they are not abused. They are. Police do abuse the Terry stop ruling. But it's like anything else they do that is illegal and unconstitutional, you hold them accountable per se. Stop and frisk done constitutionally is not unconstitutional.
That's the state's
issue.
You just hold the police accountable to do the right thing.
I got a
simple statement for that. Would stop and frisk be allowed on Wall Street? Or would they get their law team down at the police department and at the mayor's office and end it immediately.
It is allowed on Law Street, and it has been done on Wall Street. It's not theoretical.
You can pull up
stop and frisk is legal everywhere that a state has not implemented rules against. Some states don't allow it. So a state doesn't have to allow it. In Supreme Court, the state wants to allow their officers to do a stop and frisk, then it is not unconstitutional for them to allow them to do so. It doesn't require it. But it is legal and constitutional in New York. On Wall Street.
You're missing the point. Sarge, you're missing the point. So in a trailer park, you can do stop and frisk. In a barrio, you can do stop and frisk. In the hood, you can do stop and frisk. But if you get outside of there into any financial district or where the homes are $400,000 and above, those people will call their lawyer and shut it down immediately. You will not harass those people's children. You know this.
Have you ever considered that perhaps it is not as necessary to do stop and frisk on Wall Street?
Necessary.
I mean, I know you
in
like to think that all
economy.
Things in life are perfectly equitable and equal, but they are not. They are not doing a lot of smash and grabs and armed robberies and burglaries on Wall Street. So
the
opportunities to do them are simply not there. They're not there. The opportunity to do the stop and frisk.
You're having a problem understanding the question. The point I'm making here is this is a financial matter. It's in a certain area, whatever it is financially, you can get away with that stuff. Can't do it to other people. And you said they had no reason to in Wall Street. Well, when they were doing stop and frisk, that was around 2008 as well. That was when Wall Street stole the most money from American taxpayers in U.S.
Oh, come
history.
On.
One of the greatest robberies ever seen. What? Am I lying?
It didn't actually happen on the streets, on the street corner.
Wait a minute. So a uniformed patrol beat officer is supposed to have access to some Wall Street accountant's books and then do a stop
right.
and frisk for his books? Are you crazy?
You say, hey, man.
That
you
is
say, hey,
a
man.
Crime you find through investigation and going through records and getting subpoenas. That's not what a patrol officer does on the street.
But the subpoenas
what,
never happened.
What person?
And
what person was? What person? What Wall Street person was stopped on the street, frisked by a patrolman, and had books taken off of him?
Oh, they could have took those subprime loans off. Hey, buddy, you look like you got some subprime loans on you. Come here. Let me check you out real quick. You look
they
like
found 70 bags of crack.
Excuse
who
me.
Knows?
Did that happen?
No, of course it didn't. Because you only abuse people's rights who don't have the ability to pay for a lawyer that would take away
that's
a package
true.
Like that.
Yes,
yeah,
well,
okay.
I think we see that happen.
I hate to tell you this, but I think Naj is being facetious. Okay?
Yep.
Let's let him have his
It always
yeah, it's funny, Naj. Now, again, Naj, again, stop and frisk is something
okay.
that a patrol
mute.
Officer
mute.
Avails.
Mute. You are not allowed to interrupt my co-host when she's trying to speak. Screw that. Valerie, go ahead.
I'm
goodness,
sorry,
maybe Valerie. I should. No, you're fine. Maybe I should have started speaking about 15 minutes ago. Goodness gracious. Yeah, we can get hung up on these little, goodness, examples and what ifs and this, that, and the other. But if we look at what we know that the judicial system is corrupt. We know that people are abused, their rights are abused all the time within the system. Why on earth would we want to, as a federal policy, indemnify any and all police officers, the city, the state, so that they can, quote, fight without having to worry about the fact that they'll spend the next 10 years in court? That shows more concern for the system than it does for the individual rights of the people who are the ones that are at risk of being abused by those in those positions of power. And I won't say authority because they act outside of their authority. That is contrary to the fact that so contrary to the idea of liberty. The fact that he wants to encourage stop and frisk more, he put it this way. He said, if you spent one really tough, vicious day and you tell them don't ever do it again, because if you do it again, people are going to get seriously hurt. If you walk out of a store carrying two television sets under your arms, it would stop immediately. Stop immediately all over the country.
Correct.
One really tough, vicious day,
yeah.
You know that that is going to get abused. And then to indemnify
yep.
all officers.
We don't know that.
To indemnify. Oh, you get, absolutely, because it's happening even when they're not doing it yet. So if it's currently happening and then you put forth a more forceful policy, then it's going to happen even more so.
So we should just allow it, then the continuation of the looting and the lawlessness in the inner cities across America then, because we don't want to infringe on people's people who don't know how to be responsible with their individual rights.
I didn't say that at all.
Well, that's what you're insinuating. Well, neither did Trump.
What are you even talking about? He's appealing to people who have low information and don't know any better. He's appealing to their emotions and telling them that these people are looting and rioting and stealing all over the country. But in actuality, when this stuff happens, they run the cameras back, they use phones, and they identify who the people are, and they go and pick them up, and they go to jail. Or one or two
that's not true. That's not true.
And they sell their little trinkets, and that's what happens. But hold on. There's a bigger thing going here. There's a I know you guys are emotional, but hold on one second. There's a bigger thing going on here. They're trying to use this to explain away to you why so many of these different companies are leaving certain cities and certain areas. They're telling you that, oh, it's because of the looting, these companies have to leave. When in actual reality, what's happening is Amazon is taking so much of a market share from these companies.
Amazon is invading San Francisco, right?
I'm sorry, brother.
I have to disagree with that one, though.
Hold on. Let me lay it out first. Joe has to disagree with whatever I say without even thinking. That's just what he has to do. But again, Amazon is taking so much market share from some of these places that not only can they not turn a profit, it's a net loss for them to pay the rent at the place that they're at and actually function with a full staff. They're losing so much money because people can order whatever they have in their store and get it at their house in 2 days that these people can't operate. This is why you see so many dollar stores popping up around these cities. This is why certain grocery stores are closing in areas because they're not making any money. If you got a grocery store in a bad neighborhood, but you don't sell any toilet paper, cleaning products, or you know any other little small things that people order from Amazon now, guess what happens to you?
They can't sell it.
I would say that's only a part of the problem, though.
Explain to me how these stores who are losing money because their products are walking out the door with no payments are being hurt by Amazon.
Okay.
People are closing their stores because the products that they are trying to sell walk out the door with no payment because people are stealing and looting, and there is none repercussions on those thefts. You know, if I had a business and that was my profit margin walking out the door and I couldn't do anything to stop it, yeah, I'm going to close up shop and I'm going to leave. I don't give a fuck whether it be, I don't give a fuck if it leaves a goddamn hole in the society in that community because they can't get the products that they want. So they're
not leaving a hole. They're not essential.
You ain't got You ain't got a fucking clue.
No,
wait,
you ain't got a clue.
Let me get in on this, guys. Hold on. Okay, you guys. Hey, there is somebody else
that has not yet spoken. Let them chime in real quick, and then we'll get back to the bickering like three-year-olds.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, let's avoid
it.
Being three-year-olds here. I mean, come on now.
Okay, well, I don't know about that. I'll try my best, but I'm not good at it.
And then he tries to respond, and then you just keep talking. That doesn't work, okay?
Yeah,
if you ask somebody a question and you won't shut up so that they can answer, that doesn't work when it comes to having a conversation. You know, it's one of those topics.
When he does it, it's okay.
Okay, so there is a gentleman that had wanted to chime in real quick, so go ahead.
Okay, thank you. I appreciate that. Wow, this is Ron Redkin on Crazy News Radio. And here's the deal. Okay, Sarge, you're fucking wrong, for real, big time. And because it is unconstitutional, that's why they had to stop it. Second, when you talk about theft, people stealing and selling stores, that's true. It does hurt us somewhat while they said, but not though, but right. You have a double whammy system here. One, you get your shit walking out the door, the second Amazon fucking at the same time. So it's a double whammy, man. So that's, you got to put the two together. You know, Amazon plus people stealing from you. It's hard. You can't compete. You got two things that are going to get you. Then you add a third character, Walmart. Here's another one. But Walmart's starting to hurt, too, right now. It's not good for Walmart. It's looking too good to happen.
That's correct.
You guys are separating those two things. But in fact, reality is you got two things. Amazon, those two things, what's killing the little mall Paul's store is even worse than Walmart ever did. You know, that's it. You can't survive. Small businesses cannot survive in this economy. There ain't no fucking way. You can't do it. No, it ain't Trump's fault. Let's blame him on COVID.
And guys,
but people think they have a right to fucking gouge people. That's what they do. They think they have a right to gouge. And it's falling apart on them. It's falling right out apart underneath their feet. It's hilarious. I like it. I think it's stupid.
And,
but that's what it is.
Think about this. We see these people, you know, looting these stores. Even if they, in certain cities, even if they do catch them and get arrested, what's going to happen? Revolving doors?
Yeah, so again, you guys are so focused on that crime part because y'all taking an emotional stance on this. Ron is correct. When he talks about Walmart as well, because Walmart, you know, they're hurting a little bit. They're not doing as well as they used to because Amazon is a behemoth. What do we call this? Disruptive economy. These people who come in and disrupt. That's what Amazon did. They came and jumped in front of the consumer and kind of blocked out a lot of these industries. Now, when you guys keep talking about these stores being robbed, do you know what these stores also carry? Insurance. That means those goods that are stolen.
That makes it okay.
They get a check for, sir, just hold on. Just relax. I know you're emotional. Again, relax. They get a check for that. Now, what happens? Again, their insurance rate goes up. So then, because they have numbers departments and data sets of their own, they look and say, wait a minute, we're only making X amount of profit. Our insurance is going to go up, too. And we're in this area where people only make X amount of money. We're getting out of here. And then they move. And then you assume that, oh, it was because those people came in and stole some stuff. No, man, it's a much bigger economic factor than that. And Amazon
why
is the
their insurance
one.
Go up?
Because, again,
it's a chain reaction.
It's a chain reaction, man. My point.
Yeah,
exactly. One thing adds to the other. That's what happens. One thing adds to the other.
My point is whether or not there's repercussions for stealing. You know,
well,
if there's not going to be repercussions for stealing, then what do you think is going to happen? They're going to keep doing it.
We incarcerate more people than any country in the world. This idea
that
people are going to jail.
The one incarcerated just became a customer. That's what happened. When you lock somebody up, they became a customer. That's right. The government pays money to the state. That's what happened. That's why we have more people locked up for more bullshit. You're not locked up under law most of the time. You're locked up under fucking corporate rules.
You're out the next day without bail. No bail.
93 George Soros prosecutors elected. 93.
So because George Soros Foundation donates money, you think they're what? What do you think they're doing?
George Soros Foundation is a Marxist communist.
They're under his thumb. Exactly.
It's like any other.
You gotta follow the money,
look,
guys.
I can send y'all to the website. It's like any other thing. You write up your grant, you send it to the people, you hope you get it, like every other grant writer out there in the world, and most of the time you're not gonna get it. But does he have direct involvement with you? No. These people who think George Soros is some kind of communist or something, that dude was a damn currency manipulator. He is a capitalist to the fullest, a hedge fund manager in his early days. He damn near bankrupt the UK. Like, y'all think that dude is some kind of socialist, and he's not. He's a businessman.
I have to agree with one statement that Naj made. George Soros is not a communist. He's a fucking Nazi. From World War II, he's a fucking Nazi.
No, he's not. He's a Jew. He's a Jew.
In the 90s, he shorted the British pound. That's how he made the majority of his money, what kind of he's famous for. Hey, he's a raggedy, everyday banker who made a ton of money and now has his little foundation that gives out
money. He's with the New World Order.
Yeah, he's destroyed.
Can I ask a question of Naj?
It's a little foundation, that's for sure. But go ahead.
May I ask a question of Naj?
What's up, man?
Okay, Naj, you want something. Okay. It's down at your local store. All right? Not a problem. Now, are you going to take a chance walking into that local store and getting caught up in a flash robbery of that store, or are you going to play it safe and order whatever you want offline from Amazon or from some other online outfit?
Wait a minute. You think those are the same? These aren't the same people. Everyday Americans, that's damn near all of us kind of order. All of us on our phones probably got the app. Damn near all of us order something from Amazon. That's the majority of Americans. The people who are doing smash and grabs or, you know, stealing like that, those are people who are taking chances because they know if they steal that stuff and get away, they'll be able to sell it on the street for a big...
Naj, you did not understand my question.
No, you're making it
Will you take that chance going to that store knowing that there is a better than 80% chance that somebody's going to come in there and rob that store, maybe with a gun, maybe not, but are you willing to take the chance with your own personal safety, or are you going to order what you want offline?
No, that doesn't play. And look, in every video you see of a smash and grab, what do you also see in there? Other customers not only talking about how it's wrong what they're doing and they should be ashamed of themselves and everything else, cussing them out. Like, yeah, you always see other customers in there. That's not stopping people from going into a brick-and-mortar store.
In every film that's there, okay, when they interview the customer, the customer is also at the same time cleaning the shit out of his pocket because he got scared. Because of what happened in the store. Are you willing to 100% all of the time go to your local store? And spend your money in the local store 100% of the time and clean out your pants.
Dude, I'm in Atlanta. I go in the store all the time. So, yeah, it's not a problem. These things are rare. Y'all think these things happen every day all the time. These things are really rare, especially when you get away with it.
We hear
about them because the media publishes them so often. They do it on a lot of things, and that doesn't mean that these things don't happen, but there's a lot more that needs to be taken into consideration other than the fact that looting happens. You look at whether the policies of those cities, you look at the, just Portland here. We've had a lot of businesses closed, and it comes down to the policies of Portland. And businesses are leaving not because of looting and this, that, and the other, not because of Amazon, because there were a lot of riots that went out of control.
Mm-hmm.
Looting wasn't the biggest issue. The biggest issue was vandalism. Not saying looting didn't happen, but vandalism, the fact that people didn't feel safe walking down the streets during these riots, and then you look at all of the different policies having to do with taxes and all these different hoops that the businesses have to jump through, and it's an absolute nightmare to be a business owner down in Portland. So it's not just about looting that people need to look at when it comes to why businesses are shutting down or why they're no longer or they move to a different area. But regardless, right, all of this comes down to the fact that you don't fix an issue by putting in place a policy that is going to be abused and going to violate individuals' rights. It's not the answer. The answer to a problem is not to create another problem. It just,
well, I don't know.
Boy,
I got,
Benjamin Franklin said it. What did he say? Those who would trade freedom for security? What did he say? I mean,
for someone that believes,
you know,
in liberty and the freedom like this and the Constitution, you should be appalled at what's happening to Donald Trump right now and how he's being railroaded.
No, I shouldn't. But, I asked y'all to name two things, specific, tangible things that you support him for or things that he's done, and you guys couldn't do it. You took me on this tangent about...
I did.
Got
I tried.
Got us out of
war.
He got us out of war for the first time
he did
before
not.
He left office.
He did not.
Before
this
he left office, that we were at war with nobody.
That's right.
This is not true. We dropped the mother of all bombs in Syria.
That was in the beginning. Every presidency.
That
was
the
beginning.
Yeah,
and he wiped out ISIS.
Hey, Rod, Nosh, you were right. You are 100% right. He did. He continued wars that were already in progress, and he executed on those wars that were already in progress. And by the time he was getting out, most of those wars were winding down, and we were pulling out of Afghanistan. We had lowered our troop numbers in Iraq. We had done a lot to get out of those situations under Trump. And then we got Biden, and Biden not only got us completely out of Iraq, but he completely and totally 100% armed and financed the Taliban, Hamas, Al-Qaeda, and ISIS. He armed them. He gave them arms. He gave them money.
$100 million.
You're
going to lose this one, man.
You need
you're going
to
lose
better
this
sources.
One.
No,
you
don't hear what I got to say. But if we actually have an exchange, then you're not going to win. For one, you remember he killed Museveni in Iran, right? You remember us bombing them?
Yes, correct. He did.
In Iran,
yes,
right?
He did.
That famous general in Iran. You remember him doing that? So I would never criticize the U.S. president about wars because that's really out of their control. There's not much you can do about stopping this war machine. So I'm not the one who criticized. Y'all tried to put that as a feather in his cap, which is BS, because every U.S. president, again, get ahead of the war machine, man, and it ain't stopping. It ain't slowing down for nobody.
You
Barack
just
Obama,
won't give
him
any credit.
Trump, Biden, anybody.
You just won't.
You're trying to give him credit.
Trump did give us a time where
out.
There was no law, no wars.
That's right.
Don't have
it's a fact.
Like early 1800s you have to go to.
Wait. What did Biden do?
He left. No. Now y'all talking about Biden again. Y'all were supposed to be celebrating Trump's accomplishments.
What was the total amount of the worth of the stuff that he left in with the Taliban?
Afghanistan?
$900 million. America gained 7 million new jobs under Trump. 7 million new jobs. More than three times
Government experts' projections. Middle-class family income increased nearly $6,000, more than five times the gains during the entire previous administration. Okay. The unemployment rate reached 3.5%, the lowest in a half century. Achieved 40 months in a row, more job openings
like
than job
report.
Hirings. More Americans reported being unemployed than ever before, nearly 160 million. Jobless claims hit a nearly 50-year low. I can go on and on and on. So deny it, but it's true.
It's not much.
Yeah.
Because,
so these are the same things.
With the judge,
these are the same things the Biden administration is citing right now. You realize that, right? The Biden administration right now is bragging about 3.5 unemployment rate. They're bragging about the unprecedented levels of people brought out of poverty. They're doing the same thing, and you are falling for the same economic tricks. My issue with
has
this
to pay
ball
is this.
Excuse me, Naj.
Hold on, let me just say this, brother. I'll be quiet. My biggest problem with Trump supporters is y'all are no different than Obama supporters. They believed in hope and change and all things non-tangible, and it was about a feeling, and y'all do the same thing with Trump. All things non-tangible and about a feeling. Now you're using unemployment numbers like Biden does. This is a shame.
Oh, God.
Yeah, I agree. It's the same delusion. It's the exact same delusion. It's like, yeah, okay, Trump did all these great things, but nobody stops to think about, well, at what price? What did it cost in order to achieve those things? And same thing with Biden now. All these things that they're bragging about, yeah, but at what cost? We have home ownership that is completely robbing America of its wealth. When you go from a 3% interest rate to a fucking 7.5% interest rate on a 30-year mortgage, that is at least on average $100,000 of wealth that is out of that person's pocket paid toward interest. To what? The fucking Federal Reserve that raised the interest rates and keeps them high to begin with. It's feeding the
fucking beast. It's a typical family of Biden's going to,
it's deception on both parts. All these things that Trump is credited for also came at a price. That's all I'm saying. And I think that's what Naj is trying to say, too.
If not for Trump.
A typical family of four earning $75,000, right, received an income tax cut of more than $2,000, slashing their tax bill in half during Trump's administration. You know what, Biden is? Come on, Naj, come on. We'll give you the numbers for Biden.
You know what Trump did also is during COVID, he pushed and supported all the masks, the shutdowns, this, that, and the other, and then his solution to it was approving – hold on. His solution to it was approving thousands of dollars to families. That money came from where? I'm sorry. Yeah, I got thousands of dollars of quote-unquote free money from the government. But you know what would have been a hell of a lot better? Not having businesses shut down, not having to be forced to wear masks, and having people sit there and not want to go to
businesses. Those were up to the governors now. That was the governors.
Well, hold on.
That was up to
the state. The president supported it. He encouraged it. I don't care. If it ultimately came down to the governors in the individual states and what they chose to do. He encouraged it. He supported it. And then part of his solution was he was all for sending out free money instead of sitting there and saying, governors, no, this is crap. He could have been a voice. He had an opportunity to use his platform and speak up, and instead he chose to push. It doesn't,
yeah,
Thank you for making sure
that we know all of the governors were crooks, too. We appreciate you for letting us know all the governors were crooks, too.
Hold on. The guy does not belong in office. If he is going to sit there and go off of false information that he was fed, there were how many Americans that knew this was false, that this was crap, and that it was a violation of their rights and everything else? And you have the man holding the highest office in the country, and the excuse given for him is, well, he was fed that information.
I don't remember Trump saying lock down the country. I don't remember Trump ever saying that. I remember my governor in my state saying that.
Do you remember him doing Operation Warp Speed?
He supported it.
Do you remember that? And you just
well,
you just tried
CDC
to cite
is
you said
so do it.
You said a family of four and the poverty line. So let's get to that tax code you just talked about. Did you know that the tax code that Trump put in, that it sunsets for people making less than $100,000 a year, but it continues for the people who make multiple millions a year? Did you know that?
Yes, he signed the Tax Cuts and Jobs Act, yes. The largest tax reform package in history, yes. More than 6 million American workers received increases, bonuses, and increased benefits thanks to that tax cut. Yeah, I know. I was a small business owner during that period of time. Let me tell you something. The best economic time I've ever seen.
No. You just talked around it. He set up a tax cut that for you would last 3 years. But for the people, the wealthy class who were donors
to
him,
create
it
jobs,
now.
Do poor people create jobs? Do poor people create jobs? No.
You feel
you have to. You have to. You cut the corporate tax. That's how you create jobs. You don't understand.
What is the most frustrating about all of this is that the majority of people that will claim to be Trump supporters will sit there and not be honest. They want to list good things. Hold on. They want to list all these great things that they believe that he did, but they do not want to acknowledge the harm that he did do. I will be the first one to admit that if it comes down to Trump as the Republican nominee and, well, Biden, I'm voting for Trump. I'm going to. I mean, I will own that 100%. At the same time, I am not going to sit there and say that he is the best person for the job or that he is liberty-minded or that he is God Almighty, like so many people.
I'm not saying he's God Almighty.
I'm not.
Can you name one president? Yeah, but you're making that insinuation that you have to be up by saying that. Now, but can you name one president? Can you name one president that did more as far as massive deregulation, okay, that ended the regulatory assault on American businesses and workers across this country? Can you name one president in your lifetime that did it more?
I'm only 38, and I only started paying attention relatively recently. Quite frankly, I would rather a president who stood for liberty than anything else, because if they have that foundational value of liberty enshrined in their belief system, then all the other things will fall into place. If he did, then he wouldn't have done the other things that he did.
True. Back her up. It's like I said earlier. If somebody is actually liberty-minded and you believe Trump is liberty-minded and he turns around and he advocates for increased qualified immunity for police, stop and frisk, red flag laws, bump stock bans, I mean, you know, come on now, increasing the use of the death penalty, giving the government more and more and more authority and circumventing our Bill of Rights
more only
because it satisfies the thirst of the opposite side. You know, both sides can be bloodthirsty warmongers, you know, and yet, you know, you got to see it. They, you know, both sides
are. We had the best economy.
No, we didn't.
And, I mean, what are you talking about?
You're
at
delusional.
What price?
At what price? I didn't lose any of my liberties.
Our debt increased long before even COVID came
along
under Trump.
So what? Make the debt $100 trillion. So what?
So what?
Just because you don't realize.
The inflation we're talking about started long before COVID under Trump.
It started with the passing of the Federal Reserve Act and President Wilson. What are you talking about? Donald Trump had nothing to do with the inflation in the Federal Reserve.
You made a comment that you didn't lose any liberties.
That's right, I didn't.
Okay, that's you. How many other people did?
Exactly.
And that's the problem.
Well, I don't know of anybody who lost any liberty because of Donald Trump.
So
you know, I mean,
because they didn't get the vaccine. How many people lost jobs because they didn't get the vaccine?
the narrative is, listen, I understand your thinking. I get it. I understand it. Well, I didn't hear you. Go ahead.
How many people lost government jobs or government-connected jobs based on not getting the vaccine during his administration?
I don't know. I don't know, to be honest with you.
Or how many people in the military were kicked out?
None.
Because
those policies didn't start until after Trump was out of office.
Exactly.
Yes,
Trump's the only president that said he would restore the Republic.
He did Operation,
only president.
Hold on. We were waiting on the vaccine. He did Operation Warp Speed. When the vaccines came out, that's when you had this big influx of people in the anti-vaccine movement come out, and that's when we started getting into these hospitals and all these different places that had to lay off people because they refused to take the vaccine. What are you talking about, right?
Blame China for that stuff, not Trump. You know, I mean, look, Donald Trump is the only president.
You're trying to give him a pass. You're trying to give him a pass.
I'm not giving him a pass. I'm not giving him a pass. I'm not saying he was perfect.
You just did. You just fucking did. You just did.
No, I fucking didn't. I said
you can blame it on China. You can blame that on China. Fuck that. That's a cause.
That is China's fault. That's where it came from. That's where it came from.
You're trying to tell me that because China did something that gives him the ability to remove people's liberties.
So you're gonna tell me that Donald Trump's the same page? You're gonna say Donald Trump's fault? It's Donald Trump's fault?
And not allow us to use them?
But you're gonna say it's Donald Trump's fault?
Wasn't it under Donald Trump's realm that Fauci
he's
was,
not a king.
It was funding
he's not, a king.
Not only the Chinese lab in Wuhan, but here in the United States, Chinese-backed labs here in the United States.
So what would you rather have
our
then?
NIH.
So what do you want to have?
That was under Trump's umbrella. You know,
that was
when
Ron Paul was Biden, though.
When
he didn't have the backbone to fucking go against Fauci either.
When Ross Perot was when Ross Perot was running, everybody cried they wanted a president that understood the economy. We got one. He did what he was supposed to do. He fixed the economy. We had the best economy ever.
No,
okay?
We didn't.
Ever.
That didn't happen.
Yes, we did.
Oh, my God.
Okay, let's say we did.
I read them. Dispute them.
Just for the sake of argument, let's say we did have the best economy under Trump. That does not change the fact that he did things and promoted things and encouraged things and used his platform to promote things that showed he does not understand liberty.
No. He did make mistakes, yes. But he's not perfect. There will never be a president that will govern perfectly in anyone's eyes and everyone's eyes. However, he did say he would restore the republic. He said that in his inaugural address. He's the only president in my lifetime that ever said that. And that's the most important thing.
Yeah, but if we're punched drunk on – wait, let me talk for a change, you guys. You get to ramble on and don't let anybody else talk. Yeah. I mean, you know, it's one thing to say, you know, you like Trump and everything. But as long as you're punch drunk, focused on Trump and not, saying he's not the perfect candidate, you're not going to find a candidate any better because you're just demented mindset stuck on stupid.
Who's stuck on stupid?
None of these guys that are – there are no other candidates better than Trump
right now.
That you know of.
Because we don't have a candidate better than him right now, or because you don't think that we do, that means that we give him a pass on a bunch of shit? That means that we have looked past the fact that he violates
We're going to have to pick somebody. We're going to have to pick somebody unless you want to restore the Republic and have lawful
elections.
We got at least 11 more months to find him.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah,
with the narrative of the media.
Anybody that's truly liberty-minded doesn't have the funding.
In my mind, Trump's greatest success, and you can maybe make the argument that he had help with this from Harry Reid, was the judges that gave us Bruin, you know, that gave us, that sent Roe versus
way back to the
I know, I know that. I know. How about that right there? Most important,
okay.
The Supreme Court.
I got a correction. I got a correction. We keep saying Roe v. Wade back to the states. Roe v. Wade was never at the states. It was abortion was against the law. It was done illegal, or it went to Mexico. The lady that they used to take it to the Supreme Court went to a doctor looking for a connection in Mexico, and she came back the next week, and there was a lawyer there with the vision of taking it to the Supreme Court. So it was never back at the states.
And talk about liberty. He withdrew. He withdrew. Talk about liberty. He withdrew from the job-killing Trans-Pacific Partnership. Okay, he ended the North American Free Trade Agreement, NAFTA. Oh, talk about liberty. I mean, come on. The USMCA contains powerful new protections. What's that?
And he got us out of the goddamn WHO.
Exactly.
No.
That's liberty.
No.
That's liberty. That's getting us away from the New World Order.
No, we're still connected to the WHO. Matter of fact, you want the,
yeah, thanks
the
Biden.
Numbers and data that
thanks
that the WHO
Biden.
Has.
Yeah, Biden broke us back into that bullshit.
Yeah, but no nation should opt out of that. You want the data that they have because they're using global data. You want all of the information you can get.
Oh, and you talked about exports.
France,
you talked about exports, Naj, in the beginning. Over 90% of American agricultural exports to Japan now receive a treatment, and most are duty-free, okay? So you're talking about that? All right. Yeah, that's true.
No, I was talking about the World Health Organization. But the other part...
I was talking about the beginning of the conversation. You brought up exports, imports.
I got you.
And we renegotiated the United States-Korea Free Trade Agreement, doubling the cap on imports of American vehicles and extending the American light truck tariff. I mean,
brother,
what's wrong with that?
Good things. But again,
that's
again,
not a good thing.
Back to that, yeah. So going back to that Trans-Pacific deal, that was actually a deal to create allies over there in East Asia to hurt China financially. That actually was a smart partnership to come up with.
Thing for America.
That was smart. Yeah, that was smart to do. He shouldn't have opted out of it. That was a bad idea. Just like opting out of the Paris Agreement. That was another bad idea. So all those climate change contracts that are going to go out across the globe, we're not going to get them. Other nations are going to get them.
Good
idea.
Good. Good. I want other nations to spend their fucking money on those fucking contracts
exactly.
Rather than my tax dollars.
No,
well,
you
don't have tax dollars.
Let them try and figure out whatever this bullshit is.
Hold on, man. Beijing is so polluted that you can see it in the air. Germany is going to get the contracts to go over there and clean that up. That's going to be money from China to Germany. We could have gotten
that. Yeah, and those tariffs.
That's good. That's good.
Yeah.
Because
so
I'm tired of this company being the fucking air filter for the world, and we got to cut our emissions and keep cutting our emissions because there's too much emissions in the world. Why don't these fucking environmentalists get off their ass and go to the places where they are polluted?
Hey, look,
we're
I know Trump's not.
Gonna,
listen,
gonna,
I understand Trump.
We have,
stop.
Listen, we
they're
have zero, we have zero pollution compared to what we were 30 years ago. Okay? It's
because
time for the rest of the, it's, shut up, it's time for the rest of the world to step up and take care of their problems.
That's right.
Look, well,
yeah, but you realize what they do over there affects you here. And again, we have less now because we actually took a little bit of an aggressive stance on it and took care of it. But at the same time, go to L.A. in midday and tell me there's no pollution.
It's like, amazing how no one says Biden's God to you liberals. They can't do no wrong, no matter what.
There's
I mean,
no
Sleepy Joe, you know,
phone.
He can't do
what
it. The guy doesn't even know where the hell he's at, you know, and we're sticking up for Biden. What the hell's
there's
going
no
on?
Liberal on this phone. What the hell are you talking about? Nobody's sticking up for Biden. Fuck Biden.
I'm sure you say one bad thing about it, one of his policies. It's all Trump's fault still.
Because we were talking
I
about
mean, come
Trump.
On.
So have you gone out and bought your brand new $70,000 electric car that you can't drive?
Not yet, but I'm shopping. I'm looking around. I'm thinking
of
the used car market.
Made, Listen, Trump, I know he made a lot of mistakes, a lot of policy failures. I understand that. I was a critic of him in the beginning also. But you know what? Again, what he did do during the 4 years is more than what I've ever seen in my lifetime. So at that time and at this time, he's the best candidate for that job of a CEO of the District of Columbia. Okay.
You know what? You say that. Okay. I hear Trump supporters say that, like, oh, no, he wasn't perfect. I get that. But, you know, okay, well, how come every single time somebody points out one of his failures or one of his negatives, then it's like everybody's got to defend him. So it's like if you admit that he wasn't perfect, well, what are you willing to admit that he was not perfect about? Because every time we bring something up that he wasn't perfect about, everybody fucking jumps on us from all over the place to defend him.
Nobody's jumping on anybody. Nobody's jumping on anybody.
Not to mention the fact that a bunch of the things that people classify as wins were just executive fucking orders. They were just written. They were John Hancocked away right as soon as he left the fucking office because he didn't actually fucking do it. He just fucking pretended to do it. Anybody to actually join him to do it, he just fucking executive ordered write shit in, and they fucking got written right away like he never fucking existed. Is that actually a win? Did he actually do something? If that's all he did, that's his fucking wins. Shit.
What would you support any of his policies either? So you don't support anything he did?
Why don't we try to find out the actual reality of the economy when Trump was in office and the economy today? You can't see dark from light. Nobody can see this. I'm listening to you all talking shit. Listen, Trump was not perfect. I get that. He wasn't. But the point was he was doing shit to make this country actually function again. I mean, I'm not saying complete, and I'm not protecting Trump. Okay, I met Donald Trump once. I mean, I met him personally. But the point was he wasn't even in politics then. He was from the Miss USA in Branson, fucking Missouri. You know, that's why I met the guy. Okay, but anyway, he seems like a dick. You know, most people might like to are dicks so they can afford to be a dick. But what he did compared to the fact to what Biden, the damage Biden has done to this country, is fucking unbelievable. You all can see it. You know it just as well as I am. You know, Trump was not perfect. I give you that. But the point was he did do a better job than Obama. Obama set us up for a lot of bullshit. You know, he didn't give a fuck about it. You remember, I remember being on doing my show during Obama, and every fucking week there's three or four fucking scandals going constantly.
We can all agree to disagree. We can all agree to disagree.
Well, yes, true. But
we don't need permission to disagree.
Like
right, but I'm not defending Trump. I'm not defending Biden. I'm not defending nobody. But you've got to take a look at reality. I mean, when Trump was in office, gas was under $2 a gallon. Now, all of a sudden, as soon as Biden got in, he cut the NFL pipeline off. He makes everybody mask up like a motherfucker and fire people at the right and cutting this, cutting that, and send all these executive orders to fuck everybody over. Cut your freedom off. Completely cut fucking freedom off.
We agree to disagree. We don't need permission to disagree. We got that right from God, and it's confirmed in the Constitution.
Yeah,
that's right.
Let me point out one thing that you have all forgotten. Okay, Trump was not the president of the United States. Trump was the president and CEO of the corporation.
That's right.
Of the United States.
Yes,
that's right.
There
yes.
you go. There you go. Now you.
Thank
got
you
it.
Very
right
much.
On.
Thank you.
Hey, Sal. I'm just going to say, Lori. I know everybody's in their conversation, but I got something on my mind. Can I get my therapy? Won't take me but a second.
Take your therapy, please.
Okay.
Yep. Okay.
Listen, we're in here.
We are taking a therapy minute. Bye, Nathan.
Yes. Okay. Hey, listen, I've been hearing, we all been hearing in the news recently about this new technology where a police officer can stop your car, any car, not just, you know, an OnStar car that's equipped with that, but they're going to have the technology just, and I'm for that in the sense that, you know, you can stop some fool before he gets up to 100 and kills a bunch of people. But we've also been having a problem in the Middle East with in the Iran area, somehow or another they're able to send signals into the GPS of the plane, and the planes can get off onto another location. And I've been thinking about that along with the stopping the crazy people. If that fell into the wrong hands, then you know what? That would be the perfect ambush in America. You want to just stop all traffic and just start pow, 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 pow. Maybe some of y'all can think about that later on, like after the show next week.
That technology's been around, brother, quite a while,
Yeah,
and you gotta remember with the rat tat 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 tat. You know, there's one thing that you have to remember, that the military age illegal alien males that have come into this country under the Biden administration outnumbers the entire United States military by about 10 to 1. Just thought I'd throw that out there.
Yes.
Before
yes,
anybody keeps going on this, I need to sign off of here real quick and say good night to everybody. I've got kiddos to get off to bed and whatnot, so I don't want to hold up y'all's conversation too much, but I just wanted to jump in real quick, say thank you guys for a lively discussion. And
thank you.
It was
it certainly was
yeah.
that.
Hey, Val.
Merry
Christmas.
Go ahead.
Val, this is John.
You know, it take about 10 minutes before we can actually let you go, right? Like, that's the standard protocol.
That's right.
Val.
Go ahead. Yes, sir.
Val, this is John Doe. If I run for president, will you be my vice president?
Yes. Sure. I would love to. How's that?
I would vote for that ticket.
Oh, good Lordy.
Hey.
America would be pressing then.
Val?
Yes.
Say good night and thank you from at least me to your kids for allowing you to be here tonight. And,
kiddos,
and thank you to your
the gentleman
and thank you to
says
your boss.
Thank you.
I'll be honest with you, I didn't know there were kids listening.
And letting me be on here.
I didn't know there were kids listening, so I apologize for talking, because I won't do that then, because if there's kids listening, I won't have these discussions then. I didn't know. I did not
God,
know that.
God, that's respect. God, that's respect.
No, they don't hear the entire conversation. They get to hear me on my end, and sometimes I get a couple eyebrows raised at me, or like, ooh, mom's yelling at somebody other than us. But they don't hear the entire conversation.
What a treat
for them to observe.
You mean, you know, outside of our language, which I will say is atrocious, but we're all adults here. But we all are throwing sides out on both sides of an issue, and having rather spirited debates, shall I say, that would normally hopefully educate the uneducated people out in the world, and you're not allowing your kids to listen and make a determination whether we are all screwed up or right, but they could hear the conversation and say, you know what, that guy from Alaska, he's so fucked up, he's out in left field, he needs to go get institutionalized, you know.
Oh, well, they don't dare say that, first of all, but thankfully you can go back and listen to these shows still, so that is an option. If they were listening live, I would be answering so many different questions on so many different fronts. Oh, my goodness. So, no. After the fact is generally
what
better.
What did they mean by this? By that? Yeah.
Homeschooling took a whole nother turn, didn't it?
Yeah. Homeschooling. Yeah. Well, you know, yeah, you could maybe work this into a civics class, maybe.
Oh yeah, I'm. There's a lot to be learned from you guys, so it definitely gives me lots to think about too, because I do homeschool. So some of these things we actually do discuss, and sometimes I think my 9-year-old is smarter than half the population, because he. Thank you, Samson. He just yelled.
You're
welcome.
And you say he's homeschooled, and you think he's smarter than half the population. Well, I can tell you this for a fact. Okay, he is smarter than half the population if he's been homeschooled.
Well, he'll sit there and I'll mention something, and he just, that's dumb. It's like, exactly, kiddo. But you know what? Half the country voted for it. So, gotta love them.
Yeah.
But anyway, enjoy all of you guys, but I do need to run, and
I will
not be
week.
On next week, yep, but I will be here the week after that.
Yep, I will miss you next week.
Okay,
I really love having you on, you know that. So I really appreciate your contribution and helping to try to keep the reins in on this crazy ass show that my show turns into.
No worries.
Let your kiddos listen only to Lori Ann's voice for next week. They don't miss out on it on an episode.
I tend to be one that
things that they probably shouldn't hear too sometimes. So.
Oh yeah, like on my birthday.
That's why I rate my show a PG-13. Like, if you're gonna let your kid under 13 listen to the show, you're warned.
I think on my birthday it should have been rated R.
Been putting out lately.
Right.
We're mild compared to what Disney and Netflix puts out that the kids watch. Oh hey.
Yeah. So, all right. Y'all take care. Enjoy your conversation. I'll let you get back to the debate.
All righty.
Good night, y'all.
Thanks so much, Val. Hugs. Have
a
great
week. Of
course.
Good night. You guys too.
All right. Sounds like somebody's rocking back and forth in their wheelchair.
I know Sarge got booted, so is he still here?
He hung up a while ago. I only muted him. I didn't boot him, but his call dropped. Not sure if intentionally or not.
You heard his feelings.
I meant to bring him back on when we got the chance, and people had the floor.
With all due respect, Lorianne, you're kind of your co-host's yes man, you agree with everything she says, and that's not like you, so I'm a little surprised at that. I mean, even when she's wrong.
Once in a while we disagree, but she and I are very like-minded. Most of the time I agree with her. We've had conversations about Sarge yelling over everybody before. And more than once, he was yelling over Valerie, and that's why I muted him. He's like, no, my co-host, you treat her with respect, and you don't yell over her when she's trying to inject something, just like me, So I muted his ass. He deserved it, and I'm not going to apologize for it. That's on him, And I was going to bring him back into the fold, but he was not allowing anybody else to say anything, which was then like causing a chain reaction for other people to start doing the same thing. And so, no.
I understand.
That's what happened.
Well, we have all been, shall we say, complicit to that. We've all done it. We're all guilty of talking over everybody.
Yes.
Including myself.
Uh-huh.
And I do really try not to do so, but, you know, on my show, though, when it's my show and I'm the host and I need to, like, hey, I'm bringing people in, or hey, I need to make an announcement, or, you know, whatever, as the host of the show, I think it's pretty much, you know, one of those customary rules where you don't override the host of the show. You know, you don't derail the host of the show. You don't, you know, yell over them and not let them interject when they need to. And the same goes for a co-host. Same goes for a co-host.
Well, you know,
same rule applies.
Well, my dear, I believe that, you know, I've never had a show, and I don't know what your dashboard looks like or anything like that. But you do have the ultimate mute button. And when you got to make an announcement or you want to do something, don't be afraid to use your mute button and shut everybody up, especially when you're going to make announcements like at 5 minutes before the end of the show and then plug everybody's show and all of that. Just mute us all, you know.
Yeah, it takes longer to do that than it does to make the announcement. Because it takes like 3 to 5 seconds. Gibson, you know that. It takes like 3 to 5 seconds to, like, when you press the mute and then it, like, thinks about it, or unmute and then thinks about it. It's like, and so when you have 12 people on, you know, going through and muting everybody, that's going to take at least 30 to 45 seconds. And then make your announcement and then spend another 30 to 45 seconds bringing everybody back on again. It's like,
yeah,
it takes more time to do that than it does to just make the fucking announcement that you were wanting to make.
But
yeah,
like,
well, you know what? You know, here's the thing, okay? It takes 30 seconds, 35 seconds, to get everybody muted. So what? Mute everybody, you know. And
oh my
God! 35 seconds.
You're so
35
wrong,
seconds
boy.
To
Jesus
get everybody
Christ.
Back on.
You're so wrong.
No,
I love you
no.
like a brother.
That's
you're
a
so
pain
fucking
in the
wrong.
Ass. That's a
so
pain
wrong.
In the ass.
So wrong. I here's what I do. I
if
you I tell
knew
people shut the fuck up.
The switchboard works.
But boy, right, the mute button doesn't work nice if you have to use it. When you can't control them at all, mute the fuckers. Mutilate. That's my policy.
But sometimes you got to hit it like 2 or 3 times before it finally registers. Like, oh, you want to mute or unmute somebody? Okay, I'll respond. Finally.
Yeah, but...
does your like mind their stuff and shut up for like whatever 2 minutes I need.
The repetition,
you know, then...
repetitions of the same point over and over.
Do you
well,
have
I've changed
a,
my
the,
format,
the,
my
the,
show. I'm going Christian. Fuck it.
The,